cardiologist meeting.
Yeah, how's the old ticker going?
Good evening and welcome to the Monroe City Council meeting. This is a special business meeting for Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. The time right now is just after 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll?
Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Beery.
Thank you. And I received a phone call earlier from Councilmember Gamble indicating that he could end up being a little bit late this evening. And so we'll note the time when he comes in for the record. Let's go ahead and if everybody will be so kind as to stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, the first item that we have on our agenda, a confirmation of appointment for our Community Development Director, Dave Osaki, or our proposed Community Development Director, Dave Osaki. I am very pleased to present to you Mr. Osaki. We interviewed a few people for this position, and I am very happy to present him. He has 30 years of professional experience in community and economic development. His background includes work in both public and private sector and various boards and committees. He has worked for the City of Fife and has worked for the City of Auburn and Linwood, and his community involvement experience also includes serving as a planning commissioner for the City of Federal Way and for the City of Puyallup. I was impressed with the way that he presented himself in the interview. I think that he will do very well for the city, for the community here in Monroe, both for residents and for businesses. And it's my honor tonight to present him to you for your consideration of appointment. Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. It's good to see you again, David, after 24 years. 24 years ago, David hired me as a planning intern at the City of SeaTac, so that was a long time ago. I have my badge, and I was searching for it everywhere. I actually wanted to bring it. I still have it. It is my honor to move to confirm the appointment of Mr. David Osaki as Community Development Director for the City of Monroe.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Camp. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Osaki, do you have anything to say before we vote?
Well, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'll be very brief because I've been to hundreds and hundreds of council meetings, and I sense when there's going to be a council meeting, it might be long. So, out of respect for your time and the time of the public, thank you very much for having me here tonight. And I'll just say that I've had the chance to meet several staff members before I even start tomorrow, and I've been treated with nothing but kindness and respect and professionalism. I'm looking forward to working with your team and your crew here very much. And 20 years later, yep. Hello to you.
Yeah.
You've moved on to a very great thing, so I'm hoping that I contribute to you being where you are right now. But outside of that, I'm looking forward to working with all of you. As I said during the interview, one of the key things that I think I really like to do is to make sure that I inform the City Council with the information you need to make sound policy decisions. And so that's certainly the task before me during my career here, and I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Council, seeing no discussion on the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. And Ms. Smoot, will you do the honor? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I have a hard stop at 9 o'clock tonight, so if our meeting is continuing, I'll have to excuse myself.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councilmember Hanford. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on now to the public hearing that we have scheduled for downtown parking. And this project originally came before council back in January for consideration for adding the west block to the project in downtown. This project initially involved Lewis Street and also one block east of Lewis Street on Main Street, and involved removing the sidewalks and removing the parking areas, not the middle of the street, but the sidewalks and the parking areas, to install pervious concrete, which is concrete that allows water to move through it instead of having water go into the sewer system. The project, as it was presented for you and me, just as regular people walking down Main Street, would result in something that the new part, the east side of downtown, would have new sidewalks and new parking areas, and the west side would still have the sidewalks that were built in the 1970s. And so we came before council in January for consideration to add the west block so that both blocks would be redeveloped with the same look and the same feel, with new sidewalks and new parking areas. At that time, the plan that was brought forward was something similar to what you've seen as option one. And that option is angled parking, and it had 69 parking stalls. A couple weeks later, after presenting that to council, an interest was expressed to bring in a design that would show parallel parking, and staff worked to put together the plan that you see now, which is option two. Option two shows 19-foot sidewalks and shows angled parking, and the result of doing that, to put in the wider sidewalks, results in a loss of 18 parking stalls. About a week and a half ago, I offered that council members join me in a walk through the downtown to get feedback on option one and option two. And there were a number of people that expressed, a number of business owners that expressed concern about the loss of parking on Main Street. And so when I returned to the office on Monday afternoon, I worked with staff to revise option one. Option one revised is what you currently have out with you right now. Option one revised is angled parking and adds two new parking stalls on top of the 69 that were there before. So you have 71 parking stalls illustrated there as opposed to 69. We're able to achieve that by adjusting the location of the ADA, or sometimes called handicap parking stalls, to take advantage of what's called bulb outs, so that people that need to use a space can, from one side of the vehicle, can use that bulb out to get in and out of the cars. And so you'll see that that's how we were able to achieve the additional two parking stalls. Also, understanding that council was interested in looking at wider sidewalks, I worked with staff to come up with an alternative that was sort of in the middle, and that alternative is known as option number three. I'll let everybody flip. I can see everybody's flipping. Thank you. Option number three shows parallel parking on the south side of Main Street and angled parking on the north side of Main Street. The result of that plan is 15-foot sidewalks and is a loss of six parking stalls, as opposed to a loss of 18 with the parallel on both sides. The project is something that council very much wanted to receive comment on. And so this is being brought forward tonight so that you can come and speak with us, to speak to council, who makes the final decision in this matter, to share what your thoughts are and on the three options that are here. The hearing is set up for two purposes, and so as you come forward to speak, it would be valuable to hear what option you're in favor of. It would be helpful to hear also what your desired time frame for parking, your time limits for parking, would be for downtown, because that's the other reason why we are here. The city council had authorized a pilot parking program for about 3 months, I think. And during that time, parking was restricted to 24-hour limit. And that came and went. It expired about 3 weeks ago. And so it's back to, I think, two-hour parking now. Council will be considering, maybe not this evening, but over the next couple council meetings, whether or not to go with, you know, two-hour parking, 15-minute parking, four-hour parking, 24-hour parking, whatever it is. So I would encourage you to take this opportunity to share your thoughts on the parking layout, and also to share your thoughts on time limit. And of course, if there's anything else, please share those as well. We are on a construction schedule that we're looking for. So it's my hope and staff's hope that we'll be able to have at least a decision this evening on the angular, on option 1, 2, or 3, just so that we can maintain that schedule. And so, I think that's the extent of what I have. Brad, do you have anything to add? Okay, Gene, do you have anything to add?
I think you got it.
Okay, Council, before we begin, do you have any questions of me or of staff? Of course, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions later. Okay. Okay, so the way this works is this, is that everybody will be afforded, each person will be afforded 5 minutes. I have, I don't know, about a dozen people who have signed up right now to speak. If you haven't signed in, you'll still have an opportunity to come forward and speak. If somebody has said something that you already agree with, certainly stand up and say, I agree with the previous speaker, or you know, if you want to restate what's already been said, we understand. At the same time, for expediency, if you'd like, you can also just say that I agree with the previous speaker, or what have you. The clocks right here will indicate how much time is left, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time if you do go over the 5 minutes. I will need to let you know that we're going to request that you wrap up your presentation. Okay, and I think that's it. We are now going to go ahead and open up the hearing. And lastly, thank you all for coming. Let's go ahead and open up the hearing. The first person that I have who's signed up to speak is Patty Gibbons. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Patty Gibbons, and my address is 115 and 3/4 West Main Street, Suites 101 and Suite 215. I am the owner of Heavenly Soap, located on North Blakely, and I'm also manager of the Savoy Building. I am in favor of option 1, that we keep angled parking, and I'm also in favor of 24-hour parking. When 24-hour parking was implemented back in December, I began to see a significant change on the traffic on Main Street. Because not only is my business there, but I live in the Savoy Building, and my living room window looks out onto Main Street. So I watch the parking every day, in the morning and at night, and I have looked for a very long time at a lot of empty parking spaces. I no longer see empty parking spaces. I see full parking spaces, and I see people. Beginning in December, my sales in my shop also increased 25% over the last 4 months. January, February, March included in that. Over last year, my sales have gone up. There are more people in my shop. For the first time in about 10 years, the Savoy Building is fully leased with the exception of one space. The 5 spaces on Main Street from the Sky River Bakery to the top walk are leased, 3 apartments on the second floor, 5 apartments on the third floor, and 14 office spaces on the second floor. 5 of those leases have been signed in the last 4 months, and those leases will run from 6 months to 2 years. Our tenants include 2 attorneys, a massage therapist, a landscaper. We have a representative of the Teamsters Union that meets with the employees at the prison. We have a web design company. We have an AA group that meets there. And our latest tenant will be opening her midwifery practice the middle of April. All of these tenants see clients, and they all need places to park. And they are bringing money and revenue to the city of Monroe. I see them in the bakery. I see them coming out of the top walk, walking down Main Street. They're spending money here. And we need parking spaces for these people to park in. There's many empty storefronts on Main Street. And if something were to go into the space previously occupied by the hitching post, maybe a deli or a coffee shop or something. Where would those people park? Main Street's full. At 5 o'clock tonight, Main Street was full, and there were very few parking spaces on Blakely. And I know that it's been mentioned that people, if there were no spaces on Main Street, that you should go around the corner to one of the side streets. But if those are full, are they going to go to the neighborhoods, start parking in residential areas, irritate the neighbors? We don't want that. I want everybody to be able to come and park easily, quickly. It's amazing how fast somebody can pull into an angled spot. And I don't want to think about how long it's going to take them to parallel park. But I've seen a change in Main Street on the last 4 months. And I want to keep that change going. And I want the angled parking to stay. And I want every minute of parking time that you can give us, because it will make a difference. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next person that we have to speak is Megan Manning. Ms. Manning, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record?
Megan Manning. My address is 24716 Old Owen Road, Monroe, Washington. I do have some photos that I took today of the parking. So I am personally in favor of option 3, the mixed parking. And I am in favor of 24-hour parking. So,
one is the, I took
photos of the parking on Main Street and on the side streets at 9 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 5 p.m. today, just to show you that is 9 a.m., that there is plenty of parking, sorry. You can kind of see, you look at the buildings, you know where you're at. You're on Lewis there. This is on Main. So 9 o'clock in the morning, basically, there was plenty of parking this morning. There were certainly 6 extra spots in the 2 blocks, 4 sides during that time. So then noon, it's actually 12:30, that is Main Street, obviously, Main Street, spots, that's Lewis Street, that side of Main Street was pretty full, Main Street, spots at both ends, this is right by the post office. Plenty of parking available at noon. It's 12:30, so this is the lunch hour. This is when people are running errands, coming downtown, eating lunch. 5 p.m. was definitely the most busy time, but I did find parking, and I drive down. I come down Old Owen Road, and I cross Highway 2, and I come straight down Main Street. So I stopped, and I took some photos right by Players Music Mart, and then I also drove down, and there were 8 spots just between there and the light. That's on Main Street. That is not side streets. That is not West Main. That is not Lewis. So I got the first spot that I looked for to stop and take pictures. I didn't have to drive around and look for parking to take pictures. The post office is available after 5 p.m., and it was empty. Oh, there was one car there. This is right on Blakely there, around from Main Street by the old Eagles Club there. Across from the post office, Lewis on the west side, Lewis on the east side, no parking available, obviously, plenty of parking. So, I mean, in my eyes, there is always parking available in downtown Monroe. I work there. I work early in the morning. I work early morning. I work late at night. I come down and run errands. My kids have activities downtown. And I have never, ever, ever not been able to find a parking spot and had to go home because I couldn't walk, you know, a half a block to whatever location it was that I was going to, whether it was my own work, whether it was a restaurant, whether it was martial arts. So I personally think that we can afford to lose six spots to gain the 15-foot wide sidewalks to offer more space and a more pedestrian-friendly environment downtown. It is not pedestrian-friendly right now. It is hard to cross the streets. It is the traffic moves very fast. They don't look for pedestrians. Doing and widening the sidewalks and narrowing the street will slow traffic down. It will allow, it will force drivers to look for pedestrians and be a little bit more aware of the people downtown. I've heard that people don't want to walk downtown, but I think that if we create a friendly environment for them, they will. So that is my, I support option three, 24-hour parking, because I don't think that we should put a limit on how much time people can spend in our downtown core for lots of activities. Thanks a lot for your time, and you guys have a good night.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Una Workabaugh Hart. Ms. Hart, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record?
Hi, good evening. My name is Una Workabaugh, and I'm with the Chamber of Commerce. And thank you in advance for all of your time and listening to everybody here this evening. It's obviously a hot topic, and it feels great that people are coming out and speaking. I can say that for the Chamber, we really just want to see a viable, exciting downtown that's pedestrian friendly, that has lots of opportunities for people to go shopping and to spend time, and hopefully in that time spend money as well. And in our research, or my research, the wider sidewalks really create that type of pedestrian friendly location. And by having wider sidewalks, that might mean that we're going to lose a space or two. My personal feel is that option three is great because it allows for both those that are comfortable parking parallel and those that are parking an angle. It's a very convoluted issue, and you guys all know that. So you have people that are parking downtown that should not be parking. You have box trucks that don't belong there. You have residents that don't know where they're supposed to park. So it's much more involved than just inconveniencing one person who might want to walk into a shop, because there's so much more involved with that. And a lot of that is, you know, who's going to actually go out and give tickets with whatever idea we come up with. But I do think in the pilot program, the feedback that I received was that more than 2 hours, absolutely. 4 hours would be fine, 24 would be ideal. But again, that creates other issues, because then you have residents downtown, and where are they supposed to park? We do a walkabout downtown once a month, and a lot of the feedback that we've received in those walks is, you know, why can't we be more like Snohomish? Well, guess what? Snohomish is a totally different town, and we need to be our own community, and we need to embrace the fact that we are different and that we are amazing and that we have this great history. And I'm working really hard in getting those empty buildings filled, but it's a catch-22 because the people that are interested see what we look like, and they're like, why would I come down there? What types of changes are you incorporating to make me want to rent or buy in the downtown? So by creating something that's completely different, something that we haven't done before, could be that catalyst to create the change that we need to have. We need more money coming into the downtown. We want more people to stay and linger in the downtown. And you know what? Quite frankly, if we get to a point where people can't find any parking, because like Megan just showed, there is parking frequently downtown. I come in downtown every day. I wander the streets. That sounds awful, but that's what I do. And, you know, there is a lot of parking. There's a lot of people parking on side streets. And in Snohomish, what happens, they park on the side streets. That's exactly where they're parking. And they're walking a few blocks. And it's okay to walk a few blocks because there are flowers to see and benches to sit on and interesting shops to go into. And that's what will happen here if we only allow for the change. And, you know, I see that I do have a whole pile here of people that are like, yes, in agreement, we want something different. The majority of the feedback is option C, going with both. I personally like to parallel park. I live in Seattle. For me, parallel parking is nothing. It's easy, in, out. I don't like backing up into traffic that I can't see. I will not parallel park downtown at the 5 o'clock hour when it is busy, because people don't stop. And part of that is quieting the traffic patterns. And by increasing the size of the sidewalks and putting in the bulb outs that we've discussed, gives an opportunity to quiet that perception, if nothing else, of the traffic that's coming through so that the comfort level is there to be able to walk around and spend time. I mean, how amazing would it be to have restaurants that had little bistro tables out and being able to sit on the outside sidewalks? How amazing would it be to have our antique shops be able to have their wares partially on the sidewalk that entices people to stop and say, hey, what's that? That looks amazing. So, I don't recall who the wise person was, but at some point in time, someone in the past said that insanity and the true definition of is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And I'm asking you to please stop the insanity and embrace something that changes and is a catalyst for something amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person that we have on the list is Randy Usch. Mr. Esch, would you come forward, please, and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Randy Esch. I'm the owner of Players Music Mart, 126 East Main Street. I would like to see option one with 24-hour. I've talked before about the parking issue and the issues that I've had. Number three, in my opinion, would be a mistake for the mere fact if you sit at my store and watch people drive down that street, none of you would want to park your car on that side of the street. I can guarantee that because of the drivers flying down through there. To me, I think we need to dig a little deeper than just the parking and some wider sidewalks. I think we need to make the whole downtown area look better, the buildings themselves. You could have all the clean sidewalks that you want. You could have, you need more lighting down there. We need lighting. The sidewalks are dark. People are afraid. I've been in my store and heard some terrible language coming out there. I've heard people threatened with knives coming out of the bars. That's not what my clientele wants to hear when they're coming to my store. I think a clean downtown with some lighting is going to do better for us than fancy, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a great idea, but I think we need to do a lot deeper. We need to get these buildings straightened out because the sidewalks and the streets are going to look nice and everything else is going to look the difference. There's people that are putting a lot of money in their buildings that are trying to make things look nice. I think we need to do more of that. I think a theme of some sort. I've heard people say, well, we want to be like Duval, or we want to be like Wenatchee. Well, let's be like Monroe. No, I really think Monroe has a lot to offer here. I've put so much time and energy. I have so much respect now for a business owner. This is my first adventure. And what an adventure it has been. And it still is an adventure, and it's a lot of work, and I don't know how many of you have owned businesses. But there's a lot of work, and if you're not working that business, you're thinking about it. So it's a constant. So as you not only think about the parking and the sidewalks, my customers would probably appreciate it because there's a less chance that they're going to get hit by somebody flying around the corner on a bicycle or on a skateboard. At least there'd be a wider sidewalk for that because it's bad. And there's sometimes it's really bad. That needs to be stopped. Somebody's going to get hurt, and I hope it's not my customer. I really do. But I think there's a lot more to think about than just these three options here. I know that's what we're doing now, and mine is number one. With 24-hour parking for now. When the idea is for everybody to get all those buildings full down there, I think if we do that, we don't want to be six short. We don't want to be 18 short. We need every parking place we can possibly get, if that's our goal. And I think that's everybody here is that's their goal, is to get every building down there, have some kind of retail, to give people some place to come. And I think that's something we need to work on, not only making the buildings look nicer. I think that's if you stand down there and look at the sidewalks that are dirty, mine's going to get clean really quick because mine is no better than anybody else's. But I think let's look deeper than just that. I really wish we would do that because I think Monroe can be a lot more than what it is right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Debbie Moon. Ms. Moon, will you come forward and state your name and name and address for the record?
Hi, my name is Debbie Moon, and I'm the owner of Lovers Naughty and Ice at 105 West Main Street. And first of all, I'd like to start out by saying that I'm for anything to improve the look of the city. I'm for improving my building if I need to do so. I, however, am for option one. I believe that Megan's right now. There is parking right now. Hitching post is gone. Time for health is gone. Mazatlan is gone. So there's parking now. But when hitching post was there, there was no parking for any of my customers on Sundays ever. My business on Sundays has increased by 80% since hitching post closed, strictly due to parking. Now, I just swung by my store on the way here. It was 6:15 to drop off a payroll check. There was no parking. My husband had to drop me off. There was no parking on that whole side of the street. And if the plan is to bring businesses in and have restaurants need to turn their tables twice to make a living. And so, you know, you've got to have parking for those people. And at nighttime, when Adams is opened, all of the employees have nowhere to park. So they park in front of my shop and all along there. There's no parking at night, period, during the dinner hours, during the busy times for the restaurants. And if you're going to bring more restaurants in, you have to have parking. And if they want to do a parallel parking, then you've got to either purchase the gravel parking lot behind Thrive, or you've got to have a designated parking area. Because where are the people going to walk from? Ben Franklin's, Safeway, you know, where's the parking for them? There isn't. I have a hard time. I have no parking behind my store. My store goes right up to the alley. So I have no parking. And I have a very hard time to even get a spot for myself. And when I have to unload stuff, I have to park in the front of my store to unload and load, or the back, and then move my car. So parking is just a non-negotiable for me. There has to be as much parking, if not more. If you have more parking and you have more businesses, bring the businesses down, which I'm for improving my building. I'm for the new sidewalks, even though it's probably going to cost me 80% of my income for 2 months while the project's going on. But I would like to see some spots 15 minutes. I'd like to see a variety of spots. I have destination shoppers. They want to swing in, pick up something, and swing out, you know. And then there's people that do want to have lunch and go. So I am for, like, kind of like it was, 15 minutes, 2 hours, and some 24s. So you have a variety. And that's all I'd like to say.
Thank you very much. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Rusty Hunt. Mr. Hunt, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Hello, I'm Rusty Hunt. We're at 110 East Main. My wife and I own Mile A Fashion. We're totally in favor of option one. Any other option we think would just be crazy, taking parking away. I agree with the lady that just spoke. The 15-minute parking and the 2-hour parking is perfect for shops like ours that people want to come in and buy something, shop a little bit, and go to lunch. Anything other than option number one, we think, is absolutely crazy, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have to speak is Melanie Strom. Melanie, will you please come forward to and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Melanie Strom. 16216 240th Street, Monroe. I am a resident. I'm not a business owner. And my sentiment goes with the owner of the music business on Main. My concern is his concern, in that I think there's a bigger issue with our city of Monroe and the downtown portion of Monroe. When we first moved here 8 years ago, there was a more thriving, lively business going on. restaurants, more restaurants, and certainly more businesses. There were cute little shops and a lot of things that would draw me in to want to explore Monroe, being from Mercer Island and Redmond. Sorry, I'm not good at public speaking.
You're fine.
No problem.
So my main focus would be to see a more thriving, wonderful, beautiful city to draw more people in off of Highway 2 and just be everything that I think the potential is there. And I think if we had more property owners, more building owners that took an interest and were not absentee building owners, and that really cared about how we look to an outside person coming into our city. And I don't know what the solution would be. You know, how do you set that up? How do you get the building owners to want to make their buildings more appealing? I don't know. It would be like a building owners association or something of that sort. But as far as parking, I think parking is the secondary thing here. I think if you had your shops full, you would want as much parking as possible. And in order to entice someone to rent your building or your space, your storefront, is one of the main things is parking. If you're going to offer them parking, they need parking. As far as 24 hours, I don't see 24 hours. That would be a residential issue, I think, if you're filling your buildings with tenants for occupancy for residential living, then you'd have to supply them with some other option rather than front street parking. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Andrew Abt. Mr. Abt, please state your name and address for the record. Yes, please hand it all of them to Ms. Smoot there, and she will take a copy for the record and distribute the rest.
My name is Andrew Rapp. My home address is 32704 Salton Basin Road. I own the Sky River Bakery at 117.5 West Main Street in Monroe. I have a lot to say, so I'm going to speak really fast. I speak in a monotone. You probably fall asleep. So stay awake. I, along with my wife, Mary Torgerson, own the Sky River Bakery. The bakery has been a fixture on Main Street for 28 years, and we just celebrated our anniversary last week. It is my belief, well, first of all, we strongly support option one, more parking, not less parking. It is my belief that no one has spent more time watching the goings-on in downtown and talking about the workings of Main Street than I have. For many hours each day, I look out over the town and interact with my fellow business owners, the residents of our town, and visitors to Monroe. I feel that I have built up more than a little street cred, and this combined with hours of private thought give me a deeply textured insight into the pulse of town. This combined with the fact that the bakery brings over 50,000 people to Monroe each year. That's a serious number of people, and they all need to park. Also, I'm here tonight not only as a Main Street business owner, but I represent many hundreds of like-minded individuals. Through reading the Monitor 2 weeks ago, we discovered that the City Council is considering changes in the downtown core that would negatively affect our livelihood. This news was met with disbelief and much consternation. After a few days of discussion among ourselves and our customers, we started a petition to stop any changes to the downtown parking scheme. We come to tonight's meeting with 550 signatures strongly disagreeing with any inclusion of parallel parking to the downtown core. Think about this number. It is like there are 11 community transit buses parked out there right now. And those 550 people would fill this place how many times over? 10 times over. So I sound like I'm full of hot air, but I feel like I've got 555 people standing right behind me saying, go for it. I have never been involved in a discussion in Monroe that has brought so many people out in such force, displaying such emotion. It is very clear that people do not want parallel parking. We have had lawyers, ex-mayors, ex-police chiefs, ex-Monroe firefighters, city workers from Duval, Bothell, and Kirkland, Everett, and Redmond, and Monroe customers from Arlington, Woodinville, North Bend, Index, Stanwood, Seattle, and they've all come to sign the petition against parallel parking. Three residents from Duval saying, please don't let them do to you what has happened in Duval. They've got a beautiful town that doesn't work. There were three of them, sort of anecdotal, but they all complained about the situation in Monroe. We have had residents, business owners, and Chamber of Commerce representatives from Snohomish telling us that they have made it just fine with angle parking and 12-foot sidewalks. It's not the sidewalks that are going to bring people to town. It's not flowers. It's not any of this superfluous stuff. It's the businesses and the parking and things that make a little bit more sense. Let's see. They also in Snohomish have 12-foot sidewalks. They don't feel need for 15-foot sidewalks or 20-foot sidewalks. They have street fairs in town that close the town three times a year, maybe a fourth time if the motorcyclists decide they're going to be there this year. And it's a very contentious issue. 50% of the businesses say it's a good idea, 50% say they don't agree with it, according to the Chamber of Commerce. And not everyone thinks that it's a money-making proposition for anyone in town. We've had residents that have lived here for 75 years, and they reminded us that Monroe has already tried parallel parking, and it didn't work. So they very quickly went back to angle parking. We've had young mothers with children come in worried about the safety, that if they open up their doors into the traffic, the kids will get out of the car while they're trying to take care of the kid that's getting out of the other side of the car, so it's a safety issue. We have young drivers who never mastered parallel parking. We have a lot of young men and women have oversized vehicles and that would never consider parking parallel. It goes on and on. So you can see that, you know, myself and the people that I represent are all for the first option. I'm out of town already. This ain't going to work. I had a lot more to talk about. We're putting the cart before the horse to restrict parking and say, find parking somewhere else and send them off in residential sections where there's no parking to be had. They're just going to bypass Monroe, go right to those residential sections, and then leave town. They're not going to come and stay and spend the money. I lost the time a lot faster than I thought. But I guess my main concept was we need parking for customers. Customers are potential dollars. Dollars are in my pocket. You take the money out of my pocket, you might cause me and a lot of other businesses to actually not only experience hardship but go out of business. I have canvassed downtown. I've spent 8 hours. I've talked to almost every business owner, every manager on Main Street. I only found one business owner that supports it, and she's here tonight. It took me 9 days to find her. I have only talked to one individual, and I am not lying. One individual, after getting 535 signatures, probably talking to another 300 people on Main Street, one person that backs it. So option one is the only one.
Mr. Apt, I have to ask you to wrap up.
Okay.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Raymond Ellis. Mr. Ellis, will you come forward to speak and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
I'm Raymond Ellis. I live at 12116 Blombaugh Hill Road, Monroe. I'm the owner of the Dollop Key Building, and I guess I'm for option one. I think you need to maintain as much parking as possible for the downtown area. As far as the size of the sidewalks, I don't think they need to be any wider than they are right now. I like this new pervious cement that you're putting down. I think it really looks nice, and it should help quite a bit on the water runoff. I think for the hours of parking, I think 4 hours is probably the optimum. I think any longer than that, you'd have people just parking and staying there. I have that problem in my parking lot in the back of my building. I have to keep running people off. You know, I have it for my tenants, rather at the present time, they're very few and far between. I'd like to get some more in there. And any help you can give me in getting some tenants, I'd appreciate. And thank you.
Thank you.
The next person we have signed up to speak is Bruce Gallagher. Mr. Gallagher, will you come forward to speak? Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi, Bruce Gallagher. My address is 108 West Main in Monroe. I would like to say that, you know, I'm in favor of option one. Like many other people have said, keeping as many parking as we can available. Everybody that comes in has to have a vehicle. Foot traffic comes from cars. They need to have a place to park before they become foot traffic to come into my store.
We can't hear him.
Just the mic. Sorry.
I was going to say that I'm 108 West Main. We're a business. We're in favor of option one, keeping the most parking we can. In order to increase foot traffic, 80% of these people come in vehicles. They need to be able to park before they become foot traffic to come into our store and visit our storefronts. More parking, more foot traffic. Time-wise, I think when you talk about having a meal and maybe doing some shopping, seeing a couple stops, I think 4 hours is a good time. Seems like a good time, an hour and a half, and we're out to a few shops. And that's part of the point of this, is to increase foot traffic, increase the ability for people to walk it. I understand that people have taken pictures, they've shown us pictures of the traffic patterns and of the parking on Main Street now. But as was mentioned before, when you look at West Main, one side of the street has five or six vacancies. The old hitching post brought in tons of traffic. There was no parking. It was an issue. Now that they're gone, it's not an issue. Who's to say that it won't become a large issue again once we have full tenancy on the street? And once all the businesses are open, we will need parking. You can't base a decision on the parking now on less than full occupancy. You know, we need to plan for what it would be when it's full, not what it is now. The goal is more businesses, more foot traffic, more parking. Time-wise, 24 hours it doesn't work particularly well. Many of the people have mentioned that they're destination shops. People come in, they're focused, and you know, they need a shorter period of time. Other people have said that 24-hour parking works well because they run hours that are maybe not standard for business. Again, like has been said, as soon as you hit that 6 o'clock hour, parking is packed with the restaurants. 4 hours is probably perfect during the day. Catch a bite to eat, go out and shop. I agree that we probably need to apply some pressure to business owners to have them go ahead and tidy up and clean up the face of their building to match what we're going to do with the streets. And lighting, as was mentioned by the man that owns the music store, is also an issue. The streets are dim. It can be scary to be on some of the streets late at night. A little bit more light would definitely help that. Thanks.
Thank you. The next person that signed up to speak is Steve Jensen. Mr. Jensen, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? And while you're coming forward, let's let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has entered the chambers. The time right now is 7:52. Your name and address for the record.
They couldn't hear out there. You're too far from the mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Steve Jensen, 17041 155th Street Southeast, and for the record, I am a member of the Monroe Planning Commission, but I'm not here on their behalf. I'm here for myself as a citizen. Although I may mention something, as working on the Planning Commission, I find it interesting that we're doing this big comp plan, and while we were dealing with goals for the city, a goal we had passed by, you, the city council, pushed back to us, which was a goal specifically centered around downtown, supporting downtown, revitalized downtown. I can't think of the word right now. So think about what happens today in downtown, and it's not a parking problem. If I go downtown and say I want to go eat at Adams, and let's say that I can't find a place to park, and I go over a couple blocks away and park. I know there's been talk about, oh, increase foot traffic. It'll help business. So I'm going to walk my way over to Adams from wherever it was I parked. Let's see, what window shopping can I do? Oh, I could get some legal help. Yeah. Oh, I could take karate lessons. No. I could get a massage, but I'm really hungry right now, so no, I'm not going to do that. I could get my taxes done. No, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I could get more legal help. I could buy a house. No, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. There's no or very little retail downtown, and that is the problem. There's nothing to window shop for. So there's no point in walking somewhere else to go to where I really want to go because there's nothing to do. Now, I admire that, and I do believe that certainly the revamping of the street, building new sidewalks, putting the nice alternate colored side part for the parking is going to look nice, and it may in fact help improve things. I think you're trying to do too much all at once, and you will lose an important data point in the process. It just making that change, but keeping the parking as it is, angle parking, will give you that data point to say, look, we improved things, and did it help? I predict, and I think a lot of people predicted it will, still with angle parking. You won't need to change the parking to improve things more. You might change it when things improve for some other reason. You blame maybe the parking helped, but I don't believe that's the case. I think you should take things one step at a time. And in this case, fix the street up, but keep it angle parking. If at some future point, if you think you need parallel parking, you need to first create plenty of side parking. But second, you have to have businesses down there to be worth walking past and that people would be interested in window shopping or even going in and doing real shopping. I don't know what kind of changes you can make as far as planning or policies or zoning that would discourage services in downtown or at least services on the street level, and instead encourage retail, restaurants, and entertainment. That is what is going to rejuvenate downtown. And that is the answer. It's that simple. And when that happens, you're going to need all the parking you can get. So obviously, I'm in favor of option number one. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Mr. Rick Whitney. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, gentlemen. My name is Rick Whitney, and my address is 124 Powell Street. And I'm in favor of option one. And I couldn't agree with the last gentleman more. It's a deeper issue than just parking. You say it's a deeper issue than parking. The key word that I didn't hear mentioned was criteria. When my background is 33 years of commercial construction, specifically retail, and there's no criteria. Everything's free willy downtown. Signage, and I know you gentlemen have been working on signage. But it's not enforced. You have people hanging out at the bars, which is a health department issue, smoking, and my customers have to walk by it and have to listen to the language. So widening sidewalks doesn't make any sense if you don't have people to walk on them. Lighting the area, big plus, because you have an unsafe at night. There's people down there that don't belong down there. It's kind of like if you light it up, the vampires will go away, and they won't come around anymore. So I believe in criteria, signage, storefronts. I'm the Scrooge. See, I would not go for 24, 2-hour, 4-hour. I would put parking meters in and then give people that are residents down there a pass, business owners a pass, and then let everybody else pay for it. That's what I would do. But that's just me. So pulling into a parking space forward is easy, it's safe for kids, and, you know, backing out's a little bit hairy sometime, but it's not going to be any better trying to back into a parking spot. Some people, they can't even drive into it forward, and I can't imagine them driving into it backwards. So, but to get back to the retail end of it, more stores, criteria for what type of stores you put in down there. There's businesses downtown that have three or four different types of signs on one building. So my mom just passed away. God rest her soul, but she told me the best things in life are free, and I believe that. And the best things that you could do for downtown are little things. Light the streets, clean the sidewalks, flower storefronts, take down banners, make people upgrade their sign. I don't know how you can enforce that, but zoning is a huge deal. And if you go to a mall to rent a space in the mall as a business owner, they're going to make you have a criteria. They're going to tell you, no, we don't take those type of businesses, or we don't take two of those type of businesses. So I agree that restaurants, foot traffic businesses, and also as far as planning goes, I think somebody should be on the telephone with somebody, a major store, that like a Crate and Barrel, get an anchor down there. Make a deal with them. Do something to get an anchor down to come down onto Main Street. Some kind of incentive. I mean, if we can spend $15,000 to paint the big chimney stack down there, we can certainly pay somebody to move in. To, you know, because I don't see the purpose of that one. But anyways, in conclusion, I would say head-on in parking is the safest way. Light those sidewalks up, and the business owners. You know, I'm a little upset that we own Players Music Mart, that we're not getting compensated for losing 2 months of business. That doesn't seem to be a concern to anybody. But, you know, there may be some businesses that don't survive that. And I'm not sure what the plan is for that. I'm sure there's probably no plan. But anyways, that's all I have tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next person that we have signed up to speak is David Van Kirk. Mr. Van Kirk.
My name is David Van Kirk, 326 Short Columbia Street, and I'm just a regular citizen of Monroe. I've heard a lot of good things here tonight, and I really have kind of mixed feelings about it now. But and I think it's a more complex issue than just the parking, as been stated before I got up here. But I do want to say I agree with the Chamber of Commerce, and I think that we have to do something different, because what we're doing now is not working. We've got a lot of empty spaces down there, downtown. And I think the insanity is to just continue to do what we're doing, and we're not filling those spots up. So I would go for option three. And really, if you look at the numbers here, it looks to me like we're going to lose 8 stalls total. So we're talking about a loss of 8 parking stalls. I've been downtown at night in Monroe looking for a parking spot when I wanted to get something to eat late on a Friday night at Geno's, and there's a lot of, you can't find a parking spot on Main Street, but I have driven around and found a parking spot on the side streets and in back. So it can be done. I do it. And you know what? There's got to be something worth walking to down there. You know, I'll park away anywhere just as long as there's something worth for me to walk to. So I would like to see wider sidewalks. And as the Chamber of Commerce said, there's potential investors and business owners that they're asking, why should I come down there? There's nothing different. We have to do something different. I say we be bold. I say we go for option three. I think that satisfies the angled in people and the parallel parking people. And we're looking at a loss of 8 stalls, which we can make up. And the city could do some signage around saying, park here, you know, on the side streets. My street, Short Columbia, people for the school, they park there all the time. The street gets filled up all the time. I live on that street. It doesn't bother me. I'm sure there's a lot of different options for parking off Main Street, I believe, on the side streets. If we just were to sign, a little signage would help with that. So that's my opinion. Thank you for listening to me.
Amber Alert.
Thank you.
So as everybody shuts their phones off because we all got Amber Alerts, I don't know. Everybody started moving, and it's because all our phones were going off. Thank you very much, Mr. Van Kirk.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Julie Brinkley. Julie Brinkley, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Julie Brinkley, and I live at 211 North Madison Street. And we have lived here for about 21 years. When we came here, I was sold on my little old house. It was already 100 years old because of Stephanie's Cafe. That was where it's changed a couple times, Hitching Post and different things like that. But it was old-fashioned. It was fun. And I came here because of Old Town Monroe, basically. I wanted to live in the country. I wanted to have a spot there. And our family continually, because we live so close, we walk Main Street all the time. We walk to the park. We walk down to Al Borland, sorry. We do all kinds of stuff down there, and we've watched stores come and go. We've watched really cute stores have to leave because of, well, one thing, parking. There wasn't always parking for, you know, the little stamp stores or whatever. People didn't know that it was there, and that's another thing. Sometimes we get great shops in there, but then no one knows that they're there. My friend Emily, she said, until you told me that there was a bakery, I didn't know. So I think there's a lot of people that live in the Frylands and in the farm and stuff that have never even been on Main Street, perhaps, because they don't need to. They can go to Albertsons or whatever. They don't know what is on the great things that we have there sometimes. And right now there is a lot of parking spaces available, mostly because of all those storefronts that are not being used at this point. I am concerned because I can parallel park. It is not my favorite thing. I know that from 3 to 5 you're going to have road rage on that road because it's busy. I can imagine people trying to move in and out, trying to parallel park there. Right now what happens when you park there, there are some people that are rude and they'll just go by, but people are very polite about stopping and letting, because half the time they want to take your spot that you have. So I feel like it's much safer. I think it would take much longer. I know my mother-in-law, who's 80 years old, is not going to want to park there at all. She's not going to want to go to anything if she has to parallel park. I'm also concerned because we live just past the bank. We live by the flagpole on that street. And if the parking goes down, people are going to start coming and parking where right in front of our house all of the time, and it will be impossible for someone visiting me to park there. There was a time when the Ford dealership was there. It was terrible. It was horrible because they were parking their cars, and I know just how awful that feeling is not to have a place to park there. Also, if you did the parallel parking and then you're decreasing the size of the street, even if you do option 3 and you've got people coming out like that, right now we need all that space that we have in the street. Because as you're coming in and out and things like that, you just need that space. And I feel like it's going to squish up, and that kind of bothers me. I really appreciate some of the things that's been happening, you know, like the Seahawks celebration that I heard all the band coming out and people went down, and I went down to see what was going on. I think things like that and the Christmas celebration, I think things like that bring people down to Main Street, make it fun, make people aware of what's going on down there. Do more of that. I think it's great. Anything we can do to make it beautiful, that's great. I don't want to spend a lot of extra money because we don't have a lot of extra money, and I worry that, you know, doing this thing with the sidewalks and stuff costs money that perhaps Monroe doesn't necessarily have to do. And so that kind of was a concern for me. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
very much. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Michelle Brownman. Did I get that right? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Michelle Brownlow, and I live at 403 South Sam Street, and I'm a resident here in Monroe, and I've been here living at my current address since 1991, but I live in Monroe. My husband brought me here in 1975. So my position is that I support the parallel, the design number one. Listening to a lot of these people, I've gotten... I agree with so much of what they say about it's not just the parking. You know, we need the parking because a lot of these offices and things are empty, and so if we fill them, people have to park somewhere. But it is the general look of our town. There's, we walk down to town all the time. One of the big draws for us is Andrew's Bakery. We signed his petition. But there's other restaurants like Aunt Adams, which used to be the Sailfish, and Tijuana, and things like this. But it's sad to see businesses come and go. I mean, I remember when there was some Miladies down in the corner, and Camp Riley was Camp Riley, and Hunt's had the butcher shop or something down there. So it was, I always think of Monroe as Highway 2 as anywhere USA. So why don't we make our downtown area look like someplace that people can relate to? And I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Andrew Martin. Mr. Martin, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record?
My name is Andrew Martin. I live at 421 South Blakely Street. First of all, thank you for bringing this issue up. It's good to see something being done and talked about. I've lived in Monroe since 2004, and I think as most of us can attest who are business owners or even residents, we have watched the downtown core slowly decline over the years. And I applaud the fact that you want to do something different and that you're asking the public what it is. Now, it seems to me that most of the business owners here, they want option number one. They want the angle-in parking, because more parking means more customers. And I could agree with that. But then residents will say, well, wait a minute. We don't go to your business because of the parking. We don't go to get a delicious pink cookie because the parking is great, or buy a sexy little outfit at Myla Fashion because the parking is great. So we have these two things going on, you know? We have these two, what do we do? Well, we only have a certain limited amount of space. Well, what we need to do, and what everybody agrees on, is that we need something to go to. We need anchor businesses. Our anchor businesses are our restaurants. They are the little bars and restaurants. That is what people go to do. And then the other businesses benefit from that. So I would support option number one as my first choice. I would support option number three as my second choice. Excuse me. Scratch that. I support option number two as my first choice, which is the parallel parking option. Number three is my second choice. And the reason I do that is because I think that by increasing the sidewalks, giving a greater aesthetic appeal, it is going to increase customers. Those restaurants can now increase their seating capacity into the sidewalk. They can attract more customers because people eating outside of your business attracts more people coming. I'm a business owner also, and I don't always make the best choices for my own business. But I definitely know that what customers want and what people want, and people want a nice walkable downtown area. This city paid a lot of money to have a consultant come and advise, what do we do to help our city? And over and over and over again, that independent consultant said, we need to revitalize our downtown core. It was always at the top of the list. So I like the fact that we're doing something, anything, to work on that downtown core. I appreciate you guys taking the time to consider this and to hear from the public. As a resident, if we lose a few parking spaces, I would invite you to come park in front of my house on Blakely Street. Blakely Street welcomes the overflow parking. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Richard Ahrens. Mr. Ahrens, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record?
Hi, everybody. I guess let me get this microphone set up here. Okay. Richard Ahrens, 121 East Main, Monroe. I've been a business owner in this town for 20 years now. This is my 20th year this year, matter of fact. Years ago, I had a lot of excitement coming into this town because I had, over the years of being in a profession of providing eye care, I had great aspirations of bringing something to this town that would help its growth, and we've done our best. But I have seen the town kind of, as people have mentioned, kind of deteriorate over the years. And I think a lot of it has to do with one of the big things that was brought up was core businesses bringing more variety and diversity into the town, I think is a very important part of any town. If you go into areas, and I've bopped around the country quite a bit, but I'll bring up one point, which is Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a thought. Most of the culture, of course, is centered around the indigenous population there, but there is a very, very nice feel to walking through some of the streets down there. There is a large sidewalk area. There's a lot of variety of stores, which can be anything from an outdoor bistro set up to jewelry sitting on the street, musicians out on the street. There's a park nearby. There's a lot of hustle and bustling, and people are happy. And I'm just seeing this town has just kind of gone down the tubes in a respect where I think that you got so much same old kind of, we got like four or five same old stores down here, which are similar to the guy three doors down and three doors down from there. And you do need some sort of something that's going to pull people down. Somebody brought up Starbucks as an example. We already have a Starbucks in town. But something that is so interesting and something that's not around the vicinity that is pulling people in other directions, it'll pull them downtown. I can see outdoor seating and restaurants having an outdoor deal going on. Wider sidewalks would be great, but then you run into, okay, then we're into the parallel parking situation. The angle parking is out of the question at that point. I can see going with number one, but I also am kind of leaning on number three as well, with a little bit half and half. The facades, the business owner facades, the absentee landlords that aren't in this area, that don't see how their store is impacted or is impacting a lot of the newer kind of stores coming in or new facades coming in, need to really walk to their front door and kind of get a view of what's going on. I mean, you got buildings that could be cleaned up. You've got windows that could be watched. You've got interior window displays that can be updated. You've got, just eyeball things. I do this every day. I go to my front window, look inside, and if something's fallen over or there's dust in there, the windows, somebody's been spitting on them or something, I'm out there cleaning those windows. I have a lot of pride in my place, and I think that sometimes it takes these folks that don't get around to their businesses, and you've got a manager that may be running the place but doesn't have as much pride and interest in looking deeper into what's going to draw people to that facility. I am going to be one that I'll say, I walk into a town that looks like crapola, I will drive through that town and go to another town. I tend to go to places that look nice and that are inviting, and that's my personal thought on the whole thing as far as making our town look nicer. The mix of signage, I think, needs to go down the road. We need to get something that is looks better for the majority of the businesses. Everybody should have a similar. I can see wooden signs with some pretty engraving. I can see some really cool flowers hanging, which they do very nicely in this town. Clean streets, nice looking sidewalks. Just something that just pulls people downtown. Right now, I don't think a lot of people are coming through the town. I see more people running through town to get to State Route 2 and on their way somewhere else. My only concern, I'm going to run out of time, is I've got an elderly population that comes to get eye care from us. And that my only concern on backing up into Main Street is let's slow the traffic down coming through this town. Slow down to like 25 and just take a break, because people are coming through. They're not looking at really what's on either side of the street as they're driving through. They're on a mission to get to State Route 2. It's a shortcut. And that would be a big help, I think, as well. So that's about all I have to say. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the last person I have signed up to speak is, and I'm sorry if I get your name wrong, it's Moises Velasco. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Moises Velasco, 118 East Main Street.
You want to talk into the microphone?
Sure.
Sorry.
I'm an officer at Tijuana Mexican Restaurant. My family has been there for 20 years. We have also had a good year, increased business. We're strongly in favor of option number one. I think anything that can maximize parking would be a good idea, even if it's just those two spots. People talk about the seating outside. I question with the weather if that's a good idea. It doesn't really benefit me to have seating outside if it's only 2 weeks out of the year. He talks about increased seating capacity. Well, that would bring more people, and I think they would need more parking spots for that as well. Talks about benches. We've been here for 20 years, and we see a lot of good things happen in the mornings, and we also see the bad stuff that happens at night. Fights, there's drug paraphernalia everywhere. Believe me, I have to pick it up every morning. There's also, I think, the benches would be vandalized more than used for other things. Also, I think there's other issues that we could address instead of also the parking, which would be the lights. And if you would like people to come to Main Street, I think putting up a sign that says we have a Main Street, come here, at the end of East Main Street and State Route 2 would be a good help and a good start. I also think the 15 minutes or 2 hours is a good idea, but I also think that sometimes they're not enforced. I know of one lady that enforces it if she gets around to it because her day is so full, and I know that because she told me that. And also in conclusion, I think that you're making a decision not just on parallel parking or angled parking or whatever the case may be, but also on a decision that affects our livelihoods as business owners.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that is the extent of the people who have signed up to speak. Even if you have not signed up to speak, you are still welcome to come forward to the podium to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak? Please go ahead and put up your hand. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Carl Griffith, 300 Powell Street, Monroe, representing Gino's Restaurant, Barbershop, Paradise, Papa's, Top Walk. Option one only, for sure, especially Gino's Restaurant. They took a census of their, they're probably the busiest restaurant in town, I imagine, of their people, and that's what that was, for sure. Also, the huge thing that wasn't brought up is a couple points on lost revenues. Any compensation from the city that's going to happen, because what happened last time, the city tore up the streets for a year. Six businesses were lost, never to be regained again. Also, the sidewalk is a super huge issue with them, because of the fact that how are they even going to enter their business? Is that even going to happen? How's that going to work? It doesn't. And it didn't before. Plus, all the issues that you're going to try and address this time should have been addressed 10 years ago when they tore the street up the first time. I think you're moving too fast on this. You're not thinking through with the project. I think you're not thinking through with accessibility for these businesses. And the hugest thing is I don't think you're ready for it, to tear up Main Street again, because they certainly weren't last time. And the Public Works had everything set up to do it correctly, and then there was problems, and then there was problems, and then there was more problems. How are you going to reassure these businesses that those problems are going to occur, and it's not going to be 2 months? It's going to be 3 months, 4 months. We lost, you know, now we don't have money to pave the street. That's what they said last time. We formed an association last time, and we are going to file a class action lawsuit against the city because of it didn't get followed through. Nobody kept their word. So reassurance through what you guys are planning wasn't thought through last time. And I doubt that you're ready to follow through on it this time. Now, you know, it's a whole different city council. And possibly the mayor will be available. The mayor wasn't available last time they tore up the city for a year. But loss of revenue is huge. And reassurance would be loss of revenue comes from the budget going to them because of this project. That's point blank of what they're asking. Huge of the stores here. As far as the residents are concerned, lighting, yes, definitely better lighting. Yes, slow the traffic down, but they call them traffic calming devices in Bellevue. I don't know, they're all over the place. I see them everywhere. And it might stop the people doing 60 through town and people stepping off the sidewalk and almost getting murdered. People have been hit in front of the 7-Eleven several times. You know, lots of accidents happen on that street. That wasn't brought up. Maybe a light for a pedestrian to hit, maybe flashing, somebody's crossing, you know, something to that effect. People in wheelchairs, it's terrible. It's almost, it's an accident waiting to happen on that part, for sure. If you want to throw some money into some streets, why don't you pay attention to the old town itself? Like Powell Street, for instance, I live on it. You can't walk from Powell Street to Main Street on a sidewalk. They're non-existent. I see sidewalks going up all over the city. We don't have anything like that. And I see people walking with their kids, strollers, trying to get down to the park. No way. Not even at the end of, from Powell, down past Blakely to the right, no sidewalks. There's no way to get to Lewis unless you're on the road with a sidewalk coming off of Powell Street. There's no way. It's impossible. And the wheelchair people are having a terrible time. You drive down the, you know, what part of a sidewalk there is, and then you get stopped by a fence with, you know, something else, you know, in the right-of-ways. The city's not paying attention to the right-of-ways on a lot of the stuff on these back roads. And I doubt that you drive around and look for it because it's, nothing's getting done about it, for sure. And once again, it's a safety issue going through to those streets. If you want to spend some money on our streets that we've been here. My house has been there for over 100 years. It's been there. And you know, we still got to walk on the street to get to a sidewalk, to go to the park. Same deal. Just want to press again, lost revenue, business, reassurances, which weren't given before, and we had to form an association. They're talking about reforming the association also and getting all the building owners together and get prepare the lawsuit if it doesn't fall through like it didn't last time. So that might be under a consideration that you might want to, you know, think about before you tear it all up. Plus,
Mr. Griffith, I have to ask you to wrap up.
I didn't get into the planning part of it because obviously I'm busy too. But I don't think everything's been thought clearly through on the separation of the storm. It just doesn't seem like it's possible that that could happen in such a short period of time. So.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening? Please come forward. Go ahead and stay right there.
Debbie Moon, I've been here before.
I'm sorry, we have one person. We take one person.
Oh, I can't say anything else.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
I was just going to comment on what something else.
Do we have a public comment period?
I really don't like public
speaking. I'm sorry. Do we have a public comment period on the agenda? Okay. Ms. Moon, we do have a public comment section where you can talk about something other than this topic after this is done. So you're welcome to come forward at that time. Please, your name and address for the record.
Oh, 108 West Spain. I own Camp 1923. And hi. I just wanted to say I do support the first option for extra parking because I've worked really hard to bring the three main, well, actually, I like the Dollar Key building too, but the three main windows back into form and make it beautiful again. And having it parallel parking, my customers have, and you were there at the time when they said they didn't like that idea, and I know you were there. Mm-hmm. And it makes me nervous because I've worked so hard to do this. And it's not easy working in an area that has not had the love that it should have. And I just really fear that option two and three, and I know everybody has the best heart in mind, and I know they do, but as somebody that works it every day, 7 days a week, I have been working 7 days a week for I don't know how long, just making this work. I just want everybody to understand how hard it is and how much I love Monroe. In fact, a lovely, lovely lady was talking about Miladies. That was my aunt, Grace Kerwin. And Camp Riley, I'm camp. That's the reason it's Camp 1923. Hmm. That was my great-grandfather. I loved him. Walter Samuel Camp. He was phenomenal. He founded this community. And it is so important that we keep it together and that we all work together and love it and cherish it because this is our roots. I've lived here my entire life and I love it. So I just want everybody to think about how important it is and just how much we need to love it. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come forward and speak during the public hearing? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none. Council, it would be your time now to move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Councilmember Hanford?
I'll move to do that.
Second.
Yeah, the first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. And then, okay, Councilmember Gearing, and then Councilmember Hanford.
Great, thank you. Brad, some questions about the different options, what we have today. And first of all, I really appreciate everybody's feedback. A lot of people sent emails. I didn't get to respond to all of them, but I did get to respond to a number of them. And the input is huge, hearing from everyone. And I know it's impossible to hear from everyone. That's why a lot of people emailed as well. Agree with so many of the things that I've heard, a lot of the same concerns, and a couple of things before I ask my questions. A couple people were talking about actually really needing more data, and the problem isn't truly just about whether it's angled or parallel. Personally, I think we should be going to find a parking lot, and whether it's the gravel space behind.
We ask that you not applaud. We do have a council member that needs to leave at 9, and as people applaud and whatnot, it'll lengthen the deliberation.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and part of the downtown plan that we had, we've talked for years about getting a parking lot down there, and whether that's actually, you know, we should also be looking to bring private capital in to be doing these things rather than just necessarily using taxpayer dollars. But beside that, finding a piece of property where we can put signs that say, park here so you can get out of your car. And I might even suggest you know, maybe the Masons will let us level their building, right? No, I'm kidding, Jim. Just because Jim's a Mason. I'm just kidding. But behind Thrive, you know, there's a spot there. You know, there are things the city doesn't necessarily own. So I hope that we, as we move forward with this, you know, can think through things like that. Regardless of which option is chosen, even if option number one was gone, there still should be additional parking lot that we are using to get people into. You want more, not less, always. And people make those last second decisions as to whether or not to pull in. And it's economics 101. The psychology of a last minute decision to pull in somewhere. If it's easy to pull in, they're going to pull in. And if it's not, they're not. And that's, you can learn that in pretty much any economics class. I don't own a business, but I do know that. I took economics classes. Option number one, Brad, it says 11-foot sidewalks. Are they 11 feet now, or would this actually be adding just a, this would be adding like another foot, right?
Well, it's hard to tell that because there's no curb. So right now you measure the curb as 10 feet.
Yeah.
In order to keep all the distances measured to a common point, we pick the middle of the pole. So
right,
compared
okay.
to each other, they're relative. So basically, it'd probably be about the same-ish
okay.
kind of part. Width as it is now because there's a 2-foot strip that's added that has
right.
the boulder in the middle. So in order to keep them all the same, we need to center the boulder in between them all.
So the wall of the building out to the center of the bollard is 11,
it will be 11 feet.
Slightly wider. And
yeah.
in my thinking, without an actual curb there, it's going to feel actually probably wider even just with the additional foot as I think through it. I mean, from the beginning, I thought we should keep the angled parking. I certainly appreciate the mixed option as well, which is number three. I just think there was a couple comments about we do need to do something, and I'm on board with doing something, and making it more attractive is a great first step. I think option two is way too much of a first step. I agree with somebody else had spoken that before. Just the loss of parking, that much parking, I think would be detrimental. But I do think it would look great, and I'm all for making it look better. We do need to do something to make it more attractive. I think you can accomplish this with number one. The different colored angled parking spaces, that's attractive. The fact that there are going to be bollards, the fact that there won't be a curb, it's going to give, even with the addition of a foot and not a distinct curb with this, gives the impression of a wider space in general. So as I think of it, as a first step, and also I've written this down earlier, I don't think this is a be-all, end-all for any of these options. There's no reason why
mm-hmm.
if the data over the course of time played out such that you could justify doing parallel parking on Main Street because you had parking lots and whatever else and the types of businesses that were there, there's nothing stopping or the future city council from doing that in the future. So from that aspect, I'm a little uncomfortable that, you know, we've got to make this decision tonight because from that standpoint, you know, if my natural reaction is, well, okay, we got to do something. We have heard clearly from a lot of people that this could have some negative effects. Let's take a step. Make it look better. I think option one will still make it look better, especially when there's just going to be a visual aspect. Without that curb, there's going to be, it will just seem wider in general. And you are even adding a foot of sidewalk, and yet you get to keep the angled parking spots. Again, if the data bears out that we can actually do something different, then let's explore that. But the bollards are going to look great. The different color pavement's going to look great. I'd also written down a note. I was thinking some other things. Some people are talking about different cities. The city of Enumclaw downtown, they and I know it'd be a lot of money, they cobblestoned their very main street downtown. One, that slows traffic down, but two, it looks really, really cool. And you want to talk about historic, that's something to do where amazing looking feel, way down the road, but something to think about where you're talking about slowing down traffic, you're making it more in a more attractive place. It's something that we own. Ultimately, you know, as I'm looking through this, and I know we have a time constraint on one of our council members, I think a great first step is the improvements that we see with option number one. Again, I think that my second one would be option three, just because you know I think a mix would be cool too. I'm definitely not in favor. I don't believe we have any data to support going with option number two at this time. And so with that, I would I'll throw my hat in for number one at this time. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. The next person that we have is Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. If we can go back just a little while ago, a few months ago, we began the discussion of doing the regrading of the Main Street after we received the grant, and then we decided because we got the grant that we would go ahead and invest city dollars in doing the other side so that we're improving the downtown. So that aspect of it has always, I feel, we've given a good due diligence, good thought, no rushing into anything as far as that aspect of it. I remember, I've been up here, 3 years now, I think, three and a half maybe. Anyway, I remember all of us at one point of time have probably stated while we were running that we wanted to improve the downtown. And I would definitely say to the public that we have been in complete unison that we want to support the downtown, that we want to help improve the downtown in whatever way we can. The tricky part has been, since I've been on council, there's limited time and resources and opportunities for us to actually do something, and we kind of have to wait for the right timing and the opportunity to come about. And so when we first started talking about doing this, it was so exciting because, hey, here's an opportunity, we can actually do something. Let's sink hundreds of thousands of dollars downtown and fix it up and do what we can. And then it was, somebody brought up, let's look at parallel parking. And it was just kind of at a whim in the middle of a council meeting. And I was like, no, and then we moved on. And so Councilmember Rasmussen talked with me and said, hey, we're doing all this, let's really take a good look before we just, and talk about it, before we just say, oh no, let's not do it. And so I agreed. I said, yeah, we're spending all this money, let's see what the options are and actually see what makes sense. So we talked about it, and just a correction on the petitions. It says many members of the council have already decided that this is the best move for the downtown area. And that's not true at all. We talked about it, and we weren't in agreement. We felt that we needed to hear from the public. And so in my mind, I was never made up that I'm parallel parking and that's it. I just wanted, let's explore the options. That's all I wanted to do, and I think Councilmember Rasmussen as well. So now here we are tonight, and thank you, everyone, for showing up and for speaking your mind, because this is exactly what we wanted to hear. We wanted to know, because if no one's here, then it is just up to us based on emails that we get and phone calls or talking to business owners to make decisions that are tough. So thank you, everyone, for sharing, and have your notes here. My thoughts, as far as the several people talked about, it's a bigger issue than parking. We know that. We're all, I feel like, preaching to the choir. We should do something that we can do with a parking lot, I agree, to try and help out in that area, and maybe that's an option we can look at coming up here soon. But as far as a council, we don't own the buildings downtown. We don't own the businesses downtown. So we're real limited, I feel, in what we can actually do downtown until opportunities like this come along. So that being said, my feeling is that option number one would be the best place to start. It's something we've already talked about, we all felt comfortable with, and down the road, as Councilmember Gearing said, if it looks like parallel might be better, then we can look at that in the future, or the future council can look at that. Many of you remember retired Sergeant Daryl Johnson, who served here for 40 years or 50 years. Anyway, I was speaking with him Saturday night at a dinner auction, and he said, what are you guys doing down there? And so I started to explain to him the concept, and he said, oh, yeah, tell those guys, we tried that back in the 70s or 80s. They tried it already, and they didn't like parallel parking, and so they switched it all back to the way it is now. And so he said, don't do that. So that kind of coincides with someone else that shared earlier. So that's my thoughts. Option one, as far as the parking is concerned, I feel like the 24-hour may be the best way to start, and try that, and then go from there. Those are my thoughts. And again, this is so good to have public comment and involvement. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, it's great to be talking about something other than red light cameras, Walmart, and marijuana. This is. Yeah, I can't tell you. It's very refreshing. This is fantastic. This is where we should be focusing. Is downtown. Thank you for everyone coming out. When I look through, the three options, recall option one, and you very well stated. There was a comment about, hey, should we look at it? So we ended up with an option two. There were many of us, including myself, for me, going from option one to option two and losing 20 space, that's just a non-starter. And then also I may have made a comment that, yes, there are some of us that drive pickup trucks at this Monroe one tons, and it's pretty hard to parallel park an F-350 or 150. To the mayor's credit and Councilman Rasmussen and Councilman Camp, doing a walking tour and wandering around and really getting feedback from the community on this, because it is an opportunity. There's a lot. There's some stuff that we are going to do here. Mm-hmm. We had I was dead set against anything other than option one, and then after getting feedback and soliciting it from the community, we have an option number three, which is exactly how this is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank the community members that are here, but also this council. We're stepping out there and working together to go out and solicit the feedback. With that, obviously I do support option number one because that's why I supported from the beginning. I'm intrigued by option number three just from the sense of only losing six from the current. My one thing would be is that if we were to phase this, as Councilman Gehring has put it several times, option number one doesn't preclude us from doing option three down the road. But there are certain things within the building, the construction of that, whether it's the bollards end or otherwise, that would have to be moved. So it would be a cost to change down the road. Just one thing that we would need to consider in that regard. But there are also several comments that were brought up in regards to, yes, anytime you do street maintenance or there's something of this magnitude, it's going to affect downtown businesses. My sister-in-law lives in Kirkland, and we just celebrated her birthday, and we went to downtown Kirkland. I don't know how many of you have been in downtown Kirkland lately, but the whole street's ripped up, and there's wooden sidewalks, everywhere. So I guess one question was just for Brad on how we would go about handling when we do tear, because we're talking about doing something regardless, one, two, or three. How are we? What's the plan as far as managing around entrance or ingress and egress out of the establishments downtown?
Put it in the contract that the contractor has a pedestrian escort plan to make sure that people are always able to get to the businesses, except for certain times, such as when they're ripping up the sidewalk in front of the business, and then also when they're actually pouring the concrete. So there'll be a day when they're ripping up the sidewalk. They won't be able to have entrance. After that, there'll be a temporary gravel path. The concrete will be poured as another time when they won't be able to do that, and then there'll be wooden boards put over the fresh concrete so then they can have access to the buildings after that while it's curing.
Okay. The other thought, and I know it was mentioned by Councilman Gehring around, we really should be looking at the parking lot. Is there any thought or concept of maybe actually looking just for a temporary parking location during construction that we would, whether we lease a lot, we're leasing space or otherwise during the construction?
No. Okay.
Maybe that's something we might be able to, take a look at. Mm-hmm. That might be a mitigating, factor for some. Let me think. Those are my comments that I had at this time. That's it.
Thank you. The next person that we have is Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, I'm going to be repeating a lot of things you just heard, so just relax. First, I want to thank everyone for showing up tonight, especially my neighbors in the other room. No response. Okay, thanks, Emily. It's going to come out eventually. Anyway, it was great. We got a lot of input from everybody here, from our communications out with citizens as we're out on walking the streets of Monroe, and neighbors who accosted me across the street while I was mowing my lawn. It was great. I appreciated the input. It gave me a lot of food for thought as I looked at the options. Again, I liked the idea of the wider sidewalks. That was a big appeal. The opportunity to have the outside dining, and we heard comments about that tonight. The placement of wares out on the sidewalk, like we saw in Duval, was good. I also was concerned about parking and the addition of a parking area. You mentioned during the construction itself, I was hoping that by July or August we could have a proposal or possible options from city staff about what we could do in terms of a permanent parking solution. One thing that this really did is it blew away all the anecdotal evidence I've been hearing for years about what parking is like downtown. People got together and they actually gave us a very good description of this is what impacts you, and these are some of the things you need to consider if we're going to look at a parking solution. What changed my mind on option three was Ms. Strom, who said that parking is an attractant, and it's one of the things we want to use to encourage people to come downtown and put in their business. The number of parking stalls is small. The impact could be huge in terms of parallel versus diagonal parking. I agree that at this time, if we stayed with just the diagonal parking, it would make more sense. We could look at it further down the road, come up with additional options. We could look at some of the, since we will have the, what are they called, bulb outs?
Bulb outs, yeah. Bulb outs. Oh, you mean the bollards?
Well, not the bollards.
Yeah, the bulb
at the end of the sidewalks. Use that for the flower and the other decorations, the additional lighting, which we will have with the bollards. So we're going in the direction that I've heard from the input tonight. And so with that, I would throw my hat in for option one as well at this time. I think later down the road, we might be able to look at an option three. And who knows, option two way into the future. Regarding the parking times, times are easily adjusted. We can be modified at any time. I'd go with the 24-hour. That seems like it had a positive impact from previous tests. And if it doesn't work, we can change it relatively quickly. So those are my points. Thank you.
Okay. All right. There are no other council members that have pushed their lights. We do have a need to have a motion to close the public hearing, just as a reminder, and then there will be a subsequent decision point. And we've got tic-tac-toe right now. So Councilmember Rasmussen, and then Davis, and then Gehring.
Thank you.
So Councilmember Rasmussen. Yeah.
Thank you. Brad, with between option one and option three sidewalks, and hearing the comments and about starting with option one today, down the road we can easily move into option three. I'm curious, for my own sake of mind, how feasible is that? Being that we're starting with 11-foot sidewalks and option three is 15-foot sidewalks, and based off the diagrams, is it really that simple? Or what kind of work are we looking at to?
What your definition of simple is. Well, all you have to do is, basically, from the red stripe, the 10 feet from the building, mm-hmm. that has to be removed and moved out an additional 4 feet in order to go to 15 then.
So we're potentially looking at ripping up sidewalks again if we decide to do this 4 years down the road to add 4 feet. Okay, so I guess what that says to me is, starting with option one, maybe going to option three isn't as simple as what we are, with all due respect. And so I thank you for that. Had to make sure I was clear on it. You know, when we first started looking at this plaza project, I know this was discussed, but I think we were all very excited. You know, we had this project, and everyone's goal, improve downtown. This is great. This is a great first step. And the conversation was, well, if we're doing some work, let's look at the big picture. Let's look to the future. Let's look long range. And while the plaza project is good and helps us out today, you know, let's look down the road and put stuff in place today that'll help us down the road. And, you know, there's a variety of things that came about. Obviously, parallel parking, angled parking, wider sidewalks. I mean, we even spoke at one point about making Main Street one-way. Brief discussion, but it was part of the discussion. So, I mean, it was great because there was a lot of creativity flowing around, and ultimately what it came down to is, you know, what you see in option two, parallel parking. After the feedback, Mayor, staff worked very quickly to put together a third option. And thank you again, by the way, for that. That was very quick work, and I think it gave every council member a lot to think about. So, yeah, I'll just come out and say it. I'm heavily in favor of option three. You know, the wider sidewalks are what is really attracting me to this. And I see 11-foot sidewalks, and I don't see much of a change for today, from today, other than having that plaza feel, which is great. But I don't see that outdoor dining that we all spoke very highly of last time we discussed this. I don't see the sidewalk merchandising. I don't see that with the small sidewalks, 11 feet. We need bigger sidewalks in order to do that. And, you know, if we're looking to improve downtown for the future, and I'm talking the long-range future, not 2 years, 5 years, I'm talking longer, then we need to be thinking about this. And not only are we considering what's down there today, but we also got to consider what is it, or what can we do to attract those businesses that'll come in within the year and stay for the next 10, 20 years. You know, is it the wider sidewalks that gives them the additional options to have their stuff outside or have outdoor dining? Is that what's going to attract them? I think it is. But, you know, those are the other things to think about. So, option three, absolutely. Wider sidewalks, bigger opportunity, more options down the road. And,
yeah. Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Davis, and then Councilmember Cuddeback.
Okay, I'm going to try and go quick here because we got a hard break. I guess everybody's figured out that there's going to be some change downtown. And I think that's a good thing. Whatever, I think we're going to win on this one. I've been on council for 3 years, and all 3 years, we've always struggled with what can we do to revitalize downtown. Everybody on council, whoever was here and who was old and that's no longer here, that was priority. But we're limited. And that was stated earlier. There's only so much we can do. This opportunity has come along, and we all jumped on it. We all looked at it with excitement and said, finally, something we can get our hands on, we can do, and it can make a difference. And I think it will make a difference. Option one was the proposal at the time, and we looked at it and said, God, that looks great. And I agree, it looks great. We talked about it some more, and we came up with option two, and then option three. I think everybody will agree that option two was a no-starter because it was just too many parking places lost. And as much as I'd like to see parallel parking for a variety of reasons, I couldn't go with that because of the loss of parking spaces. But along came option three, which was a compromise. And that's the one I favor. And part of the reason is I do park downtown. I'm familiar with the light parking, heavy parking, different times of days, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been coming to Monroe since 1990 when I used to just come downtown to go wander around in the hardware store. And my heart was broken when it burnt down, I'll tell you. It just, it's never been the same for me since. But I, you know, I was thinking about it. What is it when you drive down Main Street and it's busy and it's packed and everybody's down there and all those big four-wheel four-wheel drive trucks are there and everything else? That lane is narrow and everybody looks like they're speeding through it. And I think probably a lot of the issues and a lot of comments were made about people zipping through there. I think a lot of that is perception because it's a narrowed and everything looks like it's moving a lot faster than it is. Although I understand, I agree, people go faster than they should. It gets narrowed down. And I think that part of that solution to that would be option number three, parallel on one side and angled on the other. You've still got you're only losing six spaces. You've got your easy parking angle. Most of the people that wanted the angle tonight are on the north side of the road. They're going to have angled. Most of them were. You're on the north side of the road, right?
Okay.
I'm not punishing.
Excuse me. Point of order, please. We need to allow council to deliberate up here. So,
anyways,
thank you.
I think that having the south side as parallel opens things up. It does. You don't get that funneling effect. I think things don't look like they're going as fast as they look, and I think you can see down the road, and you can feel a little more comfortable about going down there, and probably maybe you'll slow down or maybe stop and shop. I know lots of people that will not stop because they won't pull into those easy-to-pull-in parking places because it's hard to pull out, and it scares them to death. We haven't heard many of those, but I have, and I think all of us have heard that from other people. And I think that's in effect too. So my choice would be option number three.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. First, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And just to assure people that a decision was not made before tonight's meeting, and based on the comments I'm hearing from Councilmember, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of listening to the feedback. I've had people stop by my work and talk to me about this issue. So just want to assure you that, you know, we do listen, and no matter which way the council decides tonight, we have listened to your comments, so I appreciate it. So I agree with most everything that's been said here tonight. Downtown is a complex issue. A lot of it has to do with attracting businesses down there that people want to come down and linger. And I think we've talked at council on making downtown a priority and also looking at the Main Street approach and trying to work with businesses to get businesses. That does need to happen. There is only so much a city that a government can do in that matter, though. I mean, what we can control is the infrastructure, the aesthetics, how things look, parking, things of that nature. I heard a lot about lighting tonight. I think we need to seriously look at that. Heard a lot about enforcement. That's obviously an issue, whether it's a sign code or other things that need to be enforced, parking. So we have a lot of work to still be done. What we decide tonight is just a first step. I heard mentioned earlier there's a catalyst to start things going. And, you know, I've lived in this community about 12 years. I frequent downtown quite a bit. I love Monroe. I love downtown. There's some businesses I go down to. I love Sky River Bakery. Downtown is core and is very important to our community, and we need to keep working on it. So, again, I appreciate everyone coming out. For me, it wasn't an issue between parallel parking and angled. It was more an issue. If we could get the same vision that I want or that I think people want down there with angled parking and more parking, we would do it. I mean, no questions asked. So for me, this was more of an issue of what are we trying to create down there to make it? And we've been talking about this for years, pedestrian friendly. You want people down there. You want people to linger. You want people to frequent more than one business. You don't want people just coming in and out for the whole of downtown. You want people to linger. For me, it wasn't the angled versus parking. It was really about the vision we're trying to create. And that vision really is making it easy for people to walk around, frequent businesses they like. So, And looking at this, option two, when we talked about it, losing 18 spaces, we heard from a lot of council members, we heard from businesses, that's not an option. I really appreciate the mayor and the city staff then coming up with an option three, which, yes, six spaces are lost in that option. Not ideal to lose any parking spaces, I get that. But looking at possibly what we can gain and what we're trying to create for the vision of the future, I'm willing to go with option three. I think council needs to look at, the city needs to look at other parking options, possibly looking at a parking lot, which we've talked about for years. There might be some space down there. So right now I favor option three. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Just two quick things, then I'll move to close the public hearing. Lighting and signage, as Councilmember Kubek said as well, some sort of a funding. If we, I was just thinking, you know, around the corner from Gino's, there's the grooming shop, there's places like that where if you are going to have extra people parking, it would be nice to have more lighting. And that is something that would be on us to do. Well, it would be great to have to go get some private investment dollars to be able to do that. I don't think we can ignore that. Signage is, you know, park here, you know, now come downtown, those kinds of things. And if we're going to be doing this, I think we need to look at that sooner than later. That being said, I will move to close the public hearing.
Second. We have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Councilmember Gamble. Wasn't it?
You still get to talk.
Do you want to wave the light off for this motion to close? Okay, and then I'll come back to you. Okay, any discussion on that motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Gehring, you still...
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Just to illustrate on, you know, the decision part, I have not made up my mind. That is part of my testimony there, just so you know, during the public portion there, why I asked the questions and why I said option three intrigues me. But I supported option one from the beginning because I wanted to hear everybody tonight, and I wanted to hear everybody's opinion up here on the council. So I appreciate everybody speaking up and giving me your opinions and your thoughts and all that up here. Thanks.
Council, Councilmember Hanford.
I move to select parking layout option number one for the Main Street Plaza project.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Councilmember Gehring, your light was on.
You can take it off.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion to approve layout number one? Okay. Seeing none, we will now vote. All in favor of the motion to select layout option number one, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Hands up, who said aye?
For which one?
I'm sorry, who said nay? Okay, the nays were Councilmembers Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gamble. Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to select parking layout option three for the Main Street Plaza project.
Second.
I have a motion to select number three from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Will the ayes please put their hands up? I know that you're in the majority of the same people.
Ayes.
So Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gamble voting aye for option three. Option three passes. And we then have a next requested action. If people are going... Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move on to the next requested action. It's to select a proposed parking time limits in the downtown area. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to select the proposed parking time limits of 24 hours in the downtown area.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford for 24-hour parking in the downtown. Is there a second?
I'm not going to vote for it, but I'll second it.
For discussion?
Okay, we have a second for discussion on 24-hour parking in the downtown. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, all opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion fails.
I think we need a little more discussion on it, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and excuse myself then.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Sorry for the
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll bring back the discussion on parking time limits to a future council agenda. Is that okay with council?
Please. Yes.
Okay. And for those of you that are members of the public that are still here, thank you very much for coming out this evening. Thank you very much for your input. We're going to take about a two-minute, we're going to take a recess until 9:10, so that people, if you don't want to stay
Mayor,
for
can
the...
I just ask one?
Yeah, Councilmember Cutterback.
Before we take the recess, just that I would ask that we bring back the plan for accessibility and when the roads close down, and I think for parking and just some options, and we sure that we take into consideration what we heard tonight from the businesses about being closed and just really market our plant, you know, put it out there so people are aware of it and that notice and communication is well thought.
Yep.
Thought out.
We will bring that back in about 2 weeks. Does that sound about right? Will we have a pedestrian? Okay. So we'll bring that back in about 2 weeks. Okay. We are going to be in recess until 9:10 so that people can up and leave if they so choose. So we are in recess. Thank you, everybody. We're going to go ahead and restart the meeting.
I think angled parking guarantees is a calming effect on traffic. It does slow it down. You turn the car straight, they're going to speed up.
If there are any council members in the lobby, we're going to go ahead and restart the meeting as soon as I have a quorum. Council member Gehring, you can get your water.
I'll get it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'll get it.
Okay, we now have a quorum, and when you're ready, Liz, we'll restart. Oh, we're on.
Share too.
Okay.
My haste.
Okay, we are back in session out of recess, and the next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Each member of the public is limited to 5 minutes to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Davis. Before we move on to discussion on the motion, please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford is not here. As he announced earlier this evening, he had a hard departure at 9 o'clock, and so he is not here to vote on this item. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda is unfinished business. This is AB 15063, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update, draft text review. And Mr. Feilberg.
I'll be introducing Mr. Grimes, our consultant, for his 2.5-hour presentation regarding
It was at 9:30, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, as you are well aware, we've been going over the policies and rules promote comprehensive plan for the past few weeks. The text is about ready to go out for public review and go to the Department of Commerce for their review and also for the CEPA process. So you had this passed out to you last week, and Mr. Grimes is going to give you a little presentation regarding how we got to where we are and some things about why that map is in there. And then, if you have any comments about what you've seen so far, we'll be happy to take those and continue on with the process. So,
thanks.
Mr. Grimes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Feilberg. And, last night with the Planning Commission, we went for about 3 hours and 30 minutes, and we realized that we didn't spend enough time. So I don't think we'll go quite that long this evening. But we'll see. No, we did try to abbreviate the presentation because I think we made some great progress with the Planning Commission last night. So, thank you very much, Mayor and Council, for inviting me to come and talk to you tonight. I appreciate it. Let me just go through this relatively briefly. You've been working on this plan now for a little under a year and a half. You're very familiar with its progress as we've been going through this process, and you've been working diligently on goals and policies, and I think that you'll see the fruit of some of your work here and what we're going to talk about tonight. So what I'm hoping to be able to do is just give you a little bit of a progress update to talk in rather summary form about the different components of this process. It's not just a comprehensive plan update. It's actually quite a lot more than just that. The city made the choice to include an economic development strategy as part of this work, a parks, recreation, and open space plan update as part of this, a transportation system plan, a utilities plan, and a capital facilities plan. So all of this is coming together in concert so that we have a level of policy consistency. I'll give you a little bit of an update on what happened with our Planning Commission and Park Board meeting last night, and then we'll open it up for conversation, because I imagine you'll have some things that you want to talk about based on what you've been working on and perhaps what you hear tonight. Last night with our Planning Commission conversation, what we really wanted to make sure we did was get an understanding of where the Commission had come through its various deliberations on the policy framework. We handed them a statement of goals and policies, which really are the bones and muscles of the comprehensive plan. It's so that we can make sure that policies that we put out for land use are going to be consistent with our policies for parks and recreation and so on. I think when we were here in January, we talked a bit about what the importance of that framework was and why we thought that was really an essential exercise to pulling together this plan. As the Planning Commission was working through this, they believed that maybe we were, maybe we were spending a little bit too much effort in trying to comply with the Growth Management Act in terms of the way we were structuring our plan, and that we should perhaps make this more of a goal-driven plan that tells Monroe's story than a GMA, Growth Management Act, elements-driven plan that complies with the structural requirements from the law. And as we were talking about it last night, it actually seemed to bring the conversation closer to where the council has been in terms of having a series of 8 or 9 or 7 overarching goals that really touch on multiple elements of the plan. It's more about talking about Monroe and how you want to manage your city's growth over the next 20 years than talking about addressing a land use planning requirement or a transportation planning requirement. So we're looking at this possible change in positioning of the plan. So that really is, it's almost an old school plan in some ways, where you really talk about what's important to your community, and then you worry about complying with the legal requirements afterwards. So initially I was a little resistant to it. That's not the way that we were proposing the plan, because we tend to write a plan to comply with the laws, but you know, the Planning Commission kind of brought me around to this perspective. So I really appreciate that. And also in league with that, one of the planning commissioners said it was planning heresy, but that's okay. I'm up for a little heresy now and then. But with that perspective in mind, the Planning Commission was actually looking at refining the policies that were in that framework so that they really more actively supported the plan in that form. And I'm grateful also the Planning Commission chair has a spouse who is a technical writer. So we were able to get some non-jargon assistance.
Nice.
In pulling together some of the policies. So I think we're seeing quite a lot of sophistication emerge from the Planning Commission conversation. And you know, it's caused a little discomfort on the consultant side, but you know, what the heck, I can deal with that. But it's now turning into a wave of excitement. So we'll see where this leads. What you have, I don't know if you each have a hard copy of the plan draft as it now stands. But I mean, I printed for myself the Reader's Digest version, which is just under 400 pages. But when you add in the utility systems plan and the transportation system plan, it's actually quite a tome. So it's reflective of quite a lot of technical work that's gone into this. And so as we're producing the plan draft, we're trying to synthesize the material from all of these other technical studies and strategies and plans so that we have a policy document that's efficient, tight, and accessible. All right. So as we condense these things, we need to make sure that we are keeping in mind this vision for Monroe that really began at the outset of the process and has been reinforced. Every time we've had any kind of a public conversation, it really comes back to these types of more abstract concerns. But they're interesting in that they're not just nostalgic. Often people really project a community in the future that is exactly like what their community was like 20 years ago. But that's not the case in Monroe, where we're actually seeing a level of embracing growth and embracing change, not necessarily in a transformative way, but in a way that really optimizes the assets that you have. So as we reflect on the vision that we have in the plan, we see these things really coming out. And sorry that the Hitchin Post has closed, of course, but I mean there's this mural that they had there in their space of Main Street that begins to, at least in a picture, start to articulate what that vision is looking like. So we're talking about a community that really is in transition, and that's kind of has been something of Monroe's story since its founding. Whether it was based initially on resource extraction, then it transformed into a dairy community, and then it transformed into more of a suburban residential community. So now we're looking to transition into this more complex urban form that is more than just a bedroom community, more than what its legacy is. So anyway, that's essentially the parameters that we're looking at for this vision. And it's interesting hearing these people come tonight and talk about downtown vitality in the context of the parking program and really the implications in that. So as we look to that vision for Monroe in 2035, there are several shifts that we're looking at. Again, they're not necessarily transformations. They're really more shifts and adjustments in the way that we manage our land and build partnerships. So we look at opportunities, and One of the slides we showed to the Planning Commission last night was how growth has dispersed over the years. And we had this wave of development in the late 90s and 2000s that really was more peripheral in the community. It was up in the hillsides and it was out toward Frylands. So we didn't necessarily have commercial or services infrastructure to support that growth. Right. So one of the moves that we're seeing in this plan is actually accommodating that by really paying a little bit more attention to the commercial and services sector up at Frylands and Highway 2 and Frylands and West Main so that we can begin to have our services disperse a little bit to serve our residential population. So that's the type of thing that we see happening in this plan, where it really is a shift to accommodate what's going on while still keeping in mind the things that are really important to this community. People were talking about connectivity, being able to move from one neighborhood to the next without necessarily having to drive. Being able to do it more safely. Vacant land is becoming increasingly scarce, and so we're looking at opportunities to redevelop land, whether it's land that is on a large parcel, historically single family, being converted into something more intense, subdivided for small lot single family or for multifamily, or homes that are being converted for office use. We're seeing this kind of transformation lot by lot now happening in Monroe. Building on the relationship to the outdoors and the setting that you have here with the Skycomish River, Woods Creek, and the those little hills to the east. Also opportunities to redevelop land that may not necessarily be used to its optimal capacity or use, not necessarily advocating for a transition away from First Airfield, but at least keeping in mind that maybe there are some opportunities down the road we need to consider. Looking at low-impact development to comply with some of the new stormwater discharge requirements, and it's also more of a land-conserving, land-optimizing technique in development, so you're not necessarily dedicating a lot of land to open space detention. But what happens is that we wind up with an urban landscape, or I should say a Monroe landscape that's increasingly complex and more urban-like. So we're looking for a little bit more diversity, a little bit more dynamic fabric of development in this community. When we started working with this community, I think we also understood that there were some philosophies or approaches that we would need to respect as we look at creating a plan for you. I mean, it's not our plan, it's your plan. So we have to dial into the priorities here in this community. And something that really has come across in this community, and actually in many others in the state, is that we're kind of in a fiscal pinch. I mean, it's what cities are dealing with in this state, and so the role of government may be in something of a transition right now. You're not really in a situation where you can do a lot of leading with your wallet. I mean, and I think philosophically that also syncs up with the community's overall perspective that, you know, really the market is a powerful tool, and we need to figure out how we can use government, not necessarily as someone who's going to be initiating things, but maybe helping to position the town strategically to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. So that really shaped our overall economic development strategy as well. This is going to be a community development plan. where we're looking at empowering the community to come up with its best ideas and figuring out what to do and then how the city might be able to help that move forward. And again, when you take a look at Monroe historically, it's been that kind of citizen initiative that's made the community adapt to different circumstances and different economic influences along the way. So anyway, that's the overall perspective in this plan, is how can you strategically position yourself as a city to really assist the community in the way that it's moving forward with its own initiatives. So fiscal restraint is an important consideration in this plan. The coffers aren't terribly flush, and so we need to make sure that where we invest, we're investing in a way that's strategic and that leverages opportunities and actually augments partnerships that we're going to be building through this plan implementation. Reflecting some priorities that are deliberate, and we had a planning commission exercise last night that are going to continue on for the next couple of weeks that really help to prioritize some of these actions. And that, you know, to the extent possible, the plan really is free of ideology, that it is as apolitical a plan as possible. Because as we've been sorting through this thing, there really does seem to be a very high degree of alignment in what is important to this community. And it's a very, very pragmatic, fiscally conservative perspective on how we can strategically position the city to most clearly advance the community's interests. So this kind of gets to the thing that I'm still feeling my way through right now. But I am just about bubbling over with excitement. You probably can't tell the way I'm speaking. But I think that ultimately the plan is going to have a different structure than the one that you have here before you today. I think it's going to be goals forward. It's going to tell the story first. And, you know, if you look at our current Chapter 2, it begins to head in that direction, where we've taken these goals and we've extracted them from the individual elements and we've put them in the vision chapter. So what we'll do is we'll have a chapter called The Plan or something like that that really tells the whole story, so you can see the vision, the goals, the policies that help you achieve those goals, and then the actions that implement those policies all in one place. So you'll have, you know, an abbreviated statement that'll be a compelling, accessible, powerful, and intuitive statement of what the plan is really trying to get at. It's not necessarily saying that this is what we're doing for land use, this is what we're doing for transportation. That comes in the elements that follow as the second section. Because there are some pretty specific requirements that we have through GMA that we have to meet. I mean, we have to include certain things on our housing element, our land use element, our transportation element, capital facilities element, utilities element. We have to include those things. We're just not wanting to do them in the fronts piece of this document. And then that'll follow with our environmental impact statement and some of other technical appendices, and then we're going to have our supporting plans that follow that. So as you want to get into more detail, you just dig deeper into the document. But if what you want to learn is where the plan says the city is heading, you just have to go through the first 40 or 50 pages, maybe even less if I can pull it off. Okay, so this is the diagram that I think has been the source of some conversation. And I understand, and I wish I had a better version to show you, because we do intend to update this, reflecting some of the considerations. But as we look at a plan that is goals forward, one that is goals driven, it becomes increasingly important for us to have a spatial component to telling the story that isn't a land use map, that isn't a circulation map, that isn't a housing map, one that really talks about, you know, the community character that we're trying to get at with this overall plan. So there's a land use map, and there is definitely a place for a land use map in the comprehensive plan, and that'll appear in the land use element. And that will have a direct relationship to the way this community is zoned. It will talk about where specific land uses go, what their levels of development intensity are going to be. But this diagram really talks more about what our neighborhoods are like in this community. And I do understand that, you know, this neighborhood here is not the same as this neighborhood here, is not the same as this neighborhood here. And so we're going to differentiate that more clearly so it really comes out and pops that, you know, these are different areas of town and they have different attributes. And even though we talk about it in the text, it's not intuitively visible in just the coloring of this diagrammatic composition. So that's something we're going to change. We'll do that. But it does give us an opportunity to begin to consolidate some of those components that our goals really get at. Our goals are very synthetic. They're talking about multiple topics and multiple elements. And this diagram is intended to in a spatial context, do the same thing.
And Mr. Grimes?
Yes.
As we go through, I'm going to recognize council members before you transition from one slide to the next, and usually they will ask clarifying questions and whatnot. So, Council Member Gehring?
Thanks, and I appreciate the comments. I had sent an email. I don't know if that was forwarded on to you or not, specifically about this map. Being a map freak, one of my studies in school was a sense of place is one of the things that I was focused on, and having a sense of where you are in that. And if this is truly going to be a planned concept map, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with having different shades for each of those different areas. As I think of this whole plan, I want anyone who lives in town to be able to pick it up, read it, and get it. And that's different than a lot of comprehensive plans. And that's exactly what we've been talking about here, is making it easy for anybody to read, because generally they're not. Generally they're not easy to read. And now, the utility stuff and the transportation stuff, okay, you know, that's fine. The stuff that we've been talking about, working through the goals, and, you know, we kind of gave you the fire hose, I think, the last time we were together. And so do apologize. There's just a lot of stuff. You know, hadn't seen it. And we've taken a lot of time, as you've probably been told, to go over each one of these so that because we can't understand and explain it, how do we, you know, expect somebody else to? And just so much debate over, you know, well, what is this actually saying? Those kinds of things. So I appreciate you taking all that feedback for one. But if this is going to lead, and a regular somebody who's not involved in the process but understands, you know, Monroe and sees a map of Monroe, are they going to recognize why there are different colors? A land use map and a zoning map are not consumer friendly, and that's fine. I don't know that they're not really intended to be. But this one, in my mind, if someone's picking this up and opening it up. The south part of downtown, I lived there for 16 years, totally different than the Frylands. And you're going to have different planning policies because infill is not really going to apply in the Frylands, and infill is going to apply, you know, in this part of town. So right off the bat, you're going to have, there are different things you're going to be planning for, you know, in those, and it's lumped together. I think the term Central Monroe, there's just something that kept me up at night. I'm sorry. It did, just because it's not, nobody in the Frylands would ever consider themselves to be living in Central Monroe. So I get the concept that it's the residential part, and in the map it is kind of the center. But if someone's looking at it, they wouldn't, this Central Monroe, why is it called Central Monroe? That and the North Hill. And the North Hill is one of those hills I choose to die on, right? I'd never heard of the term North Hill until it was in the last comprehensive plan. I think that's an outdated term. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why it's there. Nobody calls it the North Hill. And they're northern neighborhoods, and again, the only reason they're tied together is because they're in the city limits. I mean, the foothills, you know, if you do economies of scale, there's as many people in the foothills who drive to Snohomish for their business as are that will take the venture all the way down Highway 2 to get into here. So from that aspect, if you say, or even north of Highway 2, oh yeah, north of Highway 2, it's the foothills and the farm and Sinclair Heights. I think people are more apt to be able to even name off the housing developments that are there versus you say North Hill. You know, and I know it may seem like a nitpicky thing, but this is what we're leading off with. This is, well, where's the North Hill in Monroe? I don't know, where is the North Hill? Because is this the same hill over here? That this, you know, is it even the same hill? Right. So you know, from that aspect, if it's going to be citizen friendly, if it's going to be community friendly, you know. We're leading with it, and that's why it's a big deal for me. And it's a concept map, right? So what's the harm in throwing in a few other colors and calling what it is? My input on that. I have some other stuff with regard to gateways, and we haven't really got there yet. But it does relate to the map, but I can hold off on those for now. Anyway, about the map, I do appreciate that. North Hill, got to call it something else, and Central Monroe, think of something else, maybe. Yeah, thanks.
And we had talked about this before, but I think that people here in town, when we think of those neighborhoods that are north, and again, North Hill was a sub-area in our comprehensive plan, and it was something that was talked about widely a decade ago or more. And so when we think of North Hill, we think of what I call the Chain Lake neighborhood. I think there are a lot of people here that when we think about our town spatially, we think about it about the main roads that come off of Highway 2. So for me, there's the Chain Lake neighborhood, which would be, you know, easterly and westerly of Chain Lake Road. And then there'd be the Robin Hood neighborhood, which is the area above the fairgrounds. and then you have the Roosevelt neighborhood. And I don't know if neighborhood's the right word, but generally when I think about the three segments of town that are northerly of Highway 2, those are good descriptors that we understand. In terms of the Frylands, I don't know if east of 522 and west of 522. 522 is it defines a difference between that which you've labeled as the central core, and I'm struggling to find other words that you might use there. But I'm not certain what the name would be for that area. But there is a difference between easterly and westerly of 522.
Would you yield for a comment on
sure.
that? And what I had suggested was Central Monroe is really where the letter B is.
Mm-hmm.
That is Central Monroe. And then there's Old Town. People talk about Old Town Monroe, and we heard it here tonight. Old Town Monroe is your you know, it's almost like SoMa, which is a San Francisco thing, right? South of Maine. You know, or that's South of Market, but we have South of Maine, right? And what did I write in here? Central Monroe, West Monroe. I mean, truly, the Frylands really is, I mean, that's West Monroe housing. West Monroe, Central Monroe, and then Old Town Monroe. Old Town Monroe neighborhoods. All the stuff that abuts downtown, and then all the stuff that's south of Maine, the orange chunk in the bottom right there, those have a distinct character. And people, you know, and Tony Balk talked about it all the time. It's the most densely packed. It's the most historic. It's the oldest part of town, the oldest houses. And there's a character there, you know, and you're going to plan differently for that than you're going to plan for the Frylands. If you're going to call something Central Monroe, right where the letter B is, yeah, that's Central Monroe. You know, and there are a lot of sidewalks. We heard about sidewalks tonight, too, things like that. So, you know, let's call it what it is. I guess that's what if we're going to take the time to do this and this is going to lead, then I think that's an important step for people understanding where they live.
Okay. The gateway discussion, does that come up later in the document?
I didn't see it, and that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
I wanted to let him continue before I do that.
Yeah, and I am very close to being done.
Okay,
so we can open it up more broadly. The plan implementation, I want to touch on this. This is something that the Planning Commission is beginning to change its focus now onto, is how we make sure that this plan is one that's going to be able to be put in practice. We want to make sure that this is a plan that is an active plan, that you have a good shot at implementing its recommendations. We also want it to be an effective budgeting tool for the council, so that as you're looking at defining your annual work programs, you can use this comprehensive plan. Whether you're talking about capital expenditures or whether you're talking about administrative direction, you have a chance of where you want to dedicate your resources. So we're hoping this gives you something of a roadmap there. And that also, as your officials start looking at individual projects, and this gets to the accessibility of the plan as well, that they have a clear look at what the policies are that are going to be guiding project review and approvals. And also, you're going to be doing some policy updates to your development regulations as part of just ensuring consistency between your zoning and your comprehensive plan. So we need to make sure that linkage is clear. You know, there are some ordinances you have on the books that operate just fine. There are others that probably need a little bit of adjustment. I'm thinking about your infill development standards. So this will give you some good guidance on how you might want to tackle some of those things. And then also, as you're looking at continuing to work with your partner agencies, whether it's Snohomish County or WSDOT or PSRC, you know, this policy document is going to be one that helps them understand how reliable a partner you are. Certainly you have your track record and practice, but this is going to be a statement of intent, something that's going to survive staff changes, survive council changes. It really is a statement of long-term city policy that your partners will be able to count on. It's also something that as your community groups are coming to you with initiatives, they'll be able to understand what the likely city response is going to be to what it is that they're going to propose. I imagine that your city council meetings are frequently featuring folks who are asking you for things, a way to support some kind of local initiative. This comprehensive plan will give you a sense of framework so you can begin to respond to those things. Figure out how you can facilitate the community's leadership in certain things that you think are going to be consistent with the city's overall vision and goals. So looking at plan implementation, we gave the Planning Commission and Park Board last night a list of recall, I believe there are 16 implementation actions associated with this plan. And it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges to figure out which ones you want to do first. So we provided for them a set of criteria looking at different ways that they could essentially price the benefits from each of the different action proposals. And they're working through that now, looking at qualitative benefit, economic benefit, and a variety of other things. All of a sudden, it just got a little too small for me to read. Functional benefit, health and safety, and then cost effectiveness. And then also telling us when they think it needs to happen. Is it a short-term action, a medium-term action, or a long-term action? Some things may be just critically important, but they're not ripe. Things that you need to do a little bit further down the road. And maybe there are some things that are really, you know, easily done, but they're too expensive. So anyway, there's a sense of not only relative importance, but also relative urgency that this is helping us get to. We're also asking the Planning Commission and the Parks Board to make recommendations on who's going to be responsible for shepherding the individual actions. Okay, so that's what I have where we are, and I certainly am eager to hear what you might have to say about the plan and the work you've done on it so far.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I got through most of it. I didn't get quite through all of it. Just a couple things that I had already brought up, so I won't go over those again. Where was my first one? I have a couple nitpicky things, but I do want it to be the most accurate as possible. And one with a vision statement. I don't know that I'd seen this before until I saw this. We really want, I don't know that, I think there's a lot of debate as to whether we would actually be retaining and improving downtown's role as the focal point. I think we want to improve downtown's role. I think most people in the community would not say it currently is the focal point. We want to make it the focal point. That's the goal of what we've been talking about. When you're on page 2-4 in the vision statement, it says retain and improve. And retain would indicate that it already is, and it is not. You know, if we're honest about it, we want it to be, and that's half of what tonight was all about. I would improve, instead of retain, improve a different word there to say, you know, that we're focusing on it. Enhance downtown role, you know, anything. But retain says it already is, and it's not. I think that's mentioned somewhere else as well. I think that's an important. We want to focus on the fact that this is where we're going. We're making it. We're putting concerted effort over the next few years into making it that. And that's not retaining. That's improving and things like that. So, I read that and I thought, you know, that might be something to change. It's also on page 2-2, a desire for downtown to remain the community's focal point. I think it's really to become. In the past, historically, I think it was. But again, as we've talked about over the last 20 years of development in this town, the focus has been pretty much everywhere else but downtown, and now we're returning to that. So from that aspect, verbiage that accurately reflects what the next 10 years, which is this document, is about, I think. It's a small thing, but I think it's important to accurately describe what we're doing. From that aspect, let's see, I had a couple. Objectives on page 3-5, neighborhood activity centers, and I think we talked about that before. I was just trying to remember what we were talking about with what a neighborhood activity center is.
So the neighborhood activity centers,
on page 3-5,
described on 3-5, are those the neighborhood?
The emphasizing the importance of neighborhood activity centers. All right, so we're talking about an importance of a neighborhood activity center, and if someone said, Kurt, what's a neighborhood activity center? And I'd be, talk to the mayor. The mayor knows. You know, what are we talking about when we're saying a neighborhood activity center? Because I want to be able to explain that, but I don't know that I could.
Is that the node?
That's, yeah,
the node. Okay. The node. We should have consistent terminology.
Okay. And so, tell me what the node is again? Sorry.
That would be where we would encourage sort of mixed use with sort of lower density or lower intensity commercial. The idea being that you could have a node develop at an intersection where people might be able to walk to a store or something.
Park Place Grocery.
We talked about that.
That's right.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. I wanted to remember. I was pretty sure we had talked about that. That was in here. The plan concept map. So this is on page 3-6, and it goes back to the plan concept map. Described in Chapter 2 provides a strategic overview of land use objectives and hoped-for patterns of development. What are our hoped-for patterns of development? That just caught my eye, so I wanted to know a little bit more of the thinking. What are the hoped-for patterns of development? Because if that's what that map represents, then I have more issues with it, right? That's on page 3-6. So I just maybe what you're getting at there.
Yeah, it really is that type of increased complexity in some areas of town.
Like the nodes, like the neighborhood, just like what we're talking about.
Nodes and maybe opportunities for residential development in central Monroe, increased connectivity, those types of considerations that really the policies begin to promulgate.
Okay. Hoped for. Okay.
When
I thought hoped for, and I was just trying to figure out what that meant. Nothing wrong with it. I just, when I read it, I was like, okay, hoped for. All right. Okay, and then land use designations. Page 3-7 is talking using gross density rather than net density to describe expected residential development intensity. What's the difference there?
So gross density. When I worked in Redmond, we had a gross density where the idea was that R4 meant that you could get 4 dwelling units per acre,
right.
And so you were given opportunities to. First, if you had an acre, you could, and a constituent came up to you, how many houses can they get on there? You can say they can get 4 dwelling units on that property. And if there were wetlands encumbering half of it, then we had tools like cluster. So we'd have lot size averaging, cluster, PRD. So we'd have things in the toolbox that would allow people to get get 4 dwelling units per acre or get closer to it, depending upon how much wetlands and whatnot impacted that. Now, what we have right now with the R, give me a number, 9600.
R4 too.
Okay, well, we have an R4, but more complicated, we have an R9600, right?
Yeah.
And so when a citizen comes to you and asks, what can they build there? You can say the average lot size is 9,600 square feet, but you can't tell them that that means that you're going to get 4 dwelling units per acre or whatever the case may be. And as I understand it, we also have a net calculation where you subtract out rights of way and whatnot. So rather than a developer coming in and saying, well, what can I develop here? And you can say you can develop 4 dwelling units per acre, you've got this complex formula of subtracting out critical areas, subtracting out rights of way. And so it seems, and you all may have a different experience with it, but it seemed to me that when I used to be able to speak on the gross, that it was easier to explain to somebody R4, they could put 4 dwelling units there. Well, did you know that there is like wetland over half the site? They could still put 4 dwelling units there. They just might be smaller lots and smaller houses.
Mitigate it somehow, okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm on board. That makes sense. And perhaps affordable housing stuff as well can play in there where you're going to get extra lots on something.
Mm-hmm.
So doing net density, if it's like a PRD or something like that, gives you much more accurate for what you can actually put on there is essentially where that goes when we go that way.
Mm-hmm. If I'm following you, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm looking at there. Very good. The last one is gateways and just the gateway concept, and we had talked about that, and we're talking about a gateway to downtown. In the past, a couple of years ago, we started exploring a gateway concept, and I think about that every time I drive into town. When you cross into the city limits of Monroe, how do you know you're in Monroe? It goes back to that sense of place and Monroe's identity. And we have some pretty ugly entrances into town. Now, we can't totally control that because there's state property, state highways, things like that. But that gateway concept, I didn't see it in here other than with relation to downtown, and there was definitely at East Main Street and Highway 2, we definitely want to direct people and have that be a gateway into downtown. In my thinking, we need every single entrance into the city of Monroe. We don't have a sign that says, even a generic green sign that says Monroe City Limits at every entrance. I don't believe there's one coming in Old Snohomish Monroe Road. There's just you are now in Monroe. And you know, if we're going to make Monroe unique, you know, I mean, there's some crazy ideas, certainly that I had been, kicking around. I mean, something that actually goes over, you actually drive through some sort of a gateway. And I know that's a little, over the top, but, you're in Monroe now. And we've got some great sign entrances, there's the generic ones you'll see. You're driving on 522, it's a state road, you're just going to get the green sign. I get that. But on the roads that aren't state owned, I don't think as you come, I don't know if there's a City of Monroe sign when you're on Roosevelt coming into town that way. And there used to be one. Is there one? And then as you're coming down Chain Lake, I might have blinked and missed it, but right after Brown Road, I don't think there's. You're. Right after the Brown Road intersection, it's welcome to Monroe. We're starting to, that area is starting to infill with houses and whatnot. There's nothing to tell you you're in Monroe. Chain Lake, that is not the most major gateway, but it's still a gateway into town. It's still an entrance into our city. Let them know that you're in Monroe. So when I think about, whether it's transportation or economic development or city vision, as you come into town, you pass East Monroe, that East Monroe area. You kind of come over that little lip, and then there's the gas station and East Main Street breaks off. I mean, that's a other than a little green sign, how do you know you're in Monroe? And then obviously entering Highway 2, we have the little green thing as well. So all that to say that concept of gateways into the city, and we had started exploring that. I didn't see that in here anywhere. To me, that was an important discussion to have because it culture. It's just the mental thing. As you come into our city, making it unique, knowing where you. Hey, I'm in Monroe now, and things that we can do at each of those points. Perhaps developing some policies related to that, even if it's simple as nicer signage to let people know that you're there. So. I was hoping for something. I didn't see it. I don't know if that's a transportation thing or an economic development or what it is. I just think it's important. You're coming in on Old Snohomish Monroe Road, I don't think there's a sign there that says you're now in Monroe. I just think that's important. I think it is important that you are in Monroe now. It's some sort of regardless if it's a minor road or a major road, we can do better than just the green sign. I think that's something that... goes to what we're trying to accomplish here, whether it's downtown or not. If you're going to get downtown, let them know you're in Monroe. So, and I don't know if that just didn't make it. I don't know that we talked about that in quite a while. In our economic development discussions in the past, we've talked about it. So I'd like to see it addressed somewhere. And if everybody else is cool, it's just with the way it is, that's fine. I would hate to miss that when this is our opportunity to at least address it. Downtown is absolutely a gateway, but there are many other gateways into town that we need to address in our comprehensive plan of the whole city. So, thanks.
Okay. So we'll check to see what's in there on gateways.
I was doing a search on it. I don't really...
There's a policy on it that says gateways actually have two policies. One the Planning Commission had one that said gateways to the city, and then they added one gateways to downtown. So there are two policies.
Yeah, I saw the downtown one was real... that was clear. It was on 415, downtown revitalization and the gateway.
Yeah. These are the most current policies.
Okay. I'm just talking about this is the text. I was highly.
It's not,
I was looking.
It's just in a policy.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I know it's late and I just didn't let it happen, but we had talked about it in the past. And I don't want it to get lost since we're in the process of doing it. So. Anyway, maybe a discussion for the next few weeks ahead of something potentially to add to one of them. I just don't want it to get lost. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Just comments on some of your comments. So thank
you.
Agree completely with kind of the verbiage of retain and improve downtown. We talked about it tonight, something where... we want to support it as a focal group. We might not necessarily be able to have complete control over what happens down there, but definitely changing that instead of retain. I also noticed in the document you have Valley General in there. It needs to be changed to Evergreen Health. You're probably already aware of that. And then I agree with, the discussion about the gateways, especially on our main areas, off 522, 203, coming on Highway 2 both ways, I think we have an opportunity to make sure that we have kind of a cohesive feel as people enter, especially on those, I believe, focal points. So having it addressed somewhere in here, some kind of a vision for that that's kind of cohesive is important. So that's all the comments I had right now. And just a question about next steps. So what are the, I would assume you'd go over that, but what the next steps are.
Right. Before we move into that, are there any other council members with comments? And then we will go to next steps. Okay. What are our next steps?
Our next steps are this Thursday, we'll circulate to Commerce to initiate the 60-day Commerce review. It'll also initiate the draft environmental impact statement review. So while that's going on, the Planning Commission will continue meeting on this document. They're going to have a public hearing on the 20th of April.
Okay.
And Brad and I were just taking a look at the schedule today to make sure that we're on it. We're looking at a second Planning Commission hearing. That'll be the second week of May, I believe. And then they'll make a recommendation to Council. And so Council will have a chance to take a look at this. We're going to try to get a City Council meeting on the document still within that 60-day comment window, so the council can make a comment within that 60-day window. Then after that 60-day window elapses on June 2nd, it'll come to you with the Planning Commission recommendation for you to have your public hearings on. So that's our next steps as far as from here to plan adoption. And then hopefully it will also be mature enough at this point so you can start your preliminary budget conversations using this as something of a guide, maybe even before it's adopted. If I may, Councilman Guerin brought up some points about Gateway, and one of the things that really strikes me about Monroe is that you are gifted with some amazing physical gateways that already exist. And so I think part of what I'm hearing is that you need to somehow claim them, you know, and really, really take advantage of that. So when I think about entering Monroe from 522, you crest the rise, you go over the curve, and then there's the high school. I mean, it's just a great vista from that point. You come into Monroe from the west on Highway 2, and you've just transited all of these open space, rural fields, and then you have an urban edge. You're in Monroe. And then further, after passing the fairgrounds, you have the highway overpass that begins to Monument. Now you're entering the commercial district of Monroe. So you have these amazing opportunities. When you're coming in south on Lewis Street, you cross the river, you're going over this gorgeous bridge.
Yeah, nice.
There you are. So, I mean, the opportunities really do abound for monumenting the entries. And I think that our plan approach was a little bit more indirect than actually, sure, you know, signing, you know, making sure that you maintain that urban edge, that you have that sense of entry and you're appreciating the river. Anyway, so it's entirely consistent with the direction of the plan, I believe, to say, okay, let's go ahead and really facilitate and support
monumentation. I was just looking for the word.
Yep, I'm getting ready.
With deep regret, I move that we extend past 10 o'clock.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp to extend beyond 10 o'clock. I have a second from Councilmember Gehring. I figured that was your motion, so I was waiting till it ticked to 10. Any discussion on the motion to extend past 10? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, who said no? Okay. Motion passes 4-2 with Cutaback and Gamble voting against extending beyond 10. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
You still have the floor.
If it were unanimous, I would have, you know, continued. But given the split,
just so you won't think, I vote no every time we go past 10. That's just the standing thing. So it's nothing. Yeah.
The good news is it wasn't 3-3, and I had to break the tie.
All right.
So, was that it?
That's it.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
For your
thank,
for
thank you.
Together. Thank you, Planning Commission.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, and thank you, Brad.
Yeah.
For Brad.
Everything.
For engineering work, public works work, and community development work. So, thank you. All right, we're going to go ahead and move into Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Just quickly say, I love this time of year. A lot of lawnmowers going on, spring sports going on, and it makes me think of all the cool things that be going on in our parks. So I'm looking forward to this time of year. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, thoroughly enjoy this time of year. Apologize for my tardiness. This special meeting was not on the agenda when we scheduled our softball kickoff to the year. So, back on the diamond. The girls' majors season started today. And Rotary Field, I know the parks were closed. Further illustrate the need and why I'm so excited about the bond with the school and in support of that and our support of that from a city perspective. We were, while all the other games in Sky Valley were canceled today due to the rains that were early in the day, just an illustrating point, the majors girls were able to have their game tonight because we have the luxury of Miracle League Field. And it didn't rain in the afternoon, so because of the turf, we were able to play no problem. So,
nice. Anyway. Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Camp?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Asmussen?
On Councilmember Gamble's point, fields are awesome. Been watching them. They got riffs on dugouts going all over.
I was just going to say that. I forgot that point. I was there yesterday, and it looked fantastic.
I'm there for you. Looking great. Actually, over the weekend, had a great time. Played an adult dodgeball tournament.
Nice.
Yes. Realized I'm no longer 10 years old. Dodgeball hurts longer, so thank you, Sahara Pizza. This was...
Oh, she can't make pizzas.
I can play to the guy that threw the ball. So, great time, but look forward to the next one.
Thank you.
What is the next one?
To be determined.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Please. Give me lots of room. Lots of time.
Okay.
I will have a team.
Perfect.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
I just want to thank Council for the discussion tonight. The last month has been kind of, a great process to hear the feedback and hear the discussion and get out and get more comment time. And really appreciate the mayor and council members Camp and Rasmussen going out and talking and taking time on the Saturday and the city and Brad for really, revising the plan. And I know that was pulled together, so I just really appreciated the discussion and just a respectful discourse on that, because it could have been, we were here for Walmart, we're here for traffic cameras, a lot of disagreement on a lot of those issues. But this one, I think, went as best as possible with the discussion tonight, with people giving their opinion and council voicing theirs. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Out to staff. Mr. Osaki, you are now confirmed. So do you have anything tonight?
I want a full
tomorrow.
Report.
I said at the very beginning, I can sense when the meeting's going to go along.
Yeah.
Good man.
Good man.
Thank you. I was going to say Councilmember Nelson. Mrs. Nelson.
No doubt. I was going to say we got our first month of sales tax from the Traffic Benefit District this month.
Yeah.
$61,935.
Nice.
Is that more than we expected?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We thought 50 or something. Yeah, about 50.
Yeah. So yeah, and just as a reminder, it is sales tax. So when the economy's up, it's up. When it's down, it's down. Okay.
Right.
So that's good. Okay. Mr. Feilberg.
I just thought of that because we actually this sales tax we collect from January. And January sales tax is usually the lowest.
Lowest.
Of the year.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Good time. That's what. Work continues on Trinity Place, getting that wrapped up to go on that. We now have something to tell the contractor to do on Main Street. and starting to work on the sidewalks on Main Street from basically the
179?
No, Latte Stand out to the front about missing places out there. So we have actually downtown to the high school sidewalk.
Nice. Okay, for me, really quickly, first, I guess on that, I went for a long run on Saturday, and I'm happy to see that the improvements are going along really well. I'll get you in just a second.
Yeah.
I just noticed your light. The improvements are going really well with the roundabouts. I'm impressed with the wider sidewalks and everything going underneath 522 where the dual roundabouts are. Looking forward to the panels being finished. But at the same time, I appreciate the work that the Department of Transportation has done with those two roundabouts. And I didn't really appreciate them as much until I was on foot running through them. And what they offer in terms of pedestrian connectivity. So, I'll have some more, but Councilmember Cutaback, you're right.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask about 179th and the sidewalk from Park Place. I know, didn't we approve that and what the timeline is for that? Or?
We were awarded the grant.
Yes.
But between the award and the funding, the maps of low-income areas changed, and that was removed from the areas available to be funded by the Community Development Block Grant. But we went into the middle, and they said, okay. So we've got funding for the first block, and that's on the schedule. Probably it'll be a next year project. We'll design it this year and construct next year.
When you say the first block, what does that mean?
Main Street to 160th. The first intersection after you turn.
After you turn. 179.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fred. Sorry, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
I was just curious. When's the West Main Street roundabout supposed to be complete?
Are you talking about
the new one, the DOT?
DOT, right? Yeah, at 522.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
All of 2014.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
I've been getting some questions about it. I'm just curious.
Yeah. They don't keep us that informed.
All right. Good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
It's the night of questions, Brad. just trying to remember the Woods Creek sidewalk?
Yes.
When is that next year?
That's the 16 also.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's out to design, right?
Yeah. Well, it's 97% designed. Knock it off and then we'll start working on that.
Next year.
Yeah.
Anything else
for
Mr. Feilberg? Okay. I had the pleasure of going to a leadership thing for students at Monroe High School on Friday morning at the high school, and then had the pleasure of being interviewed for the first time by a TV station, King 5. That was interesting. You can spend 15 minutes, or in Andrew's case, 45 minutes, and they're only going to pick out certain things that you said and then put them into their story. So that was interesting. So, boom, boom. And then Thursday, I had the pleasure of meeting with our consultants on the Gateway project at the intersection of Madison and West Main. This is the PSRC grant that that was accepted before I came into office that involves that roundabout at Madison and West Main. And so they brought forward two designs that are roundabouts and then two designs that are not roundabouts. And we will be having an open house on April 16th. And staff will be going out to meet with a couple of the property owners at that Madison and West Main intersection in advance of that open house. And I'm letting you know about this now. I did send you an email about it, but we will be bringing forward a copy of what those look like probably Tuesday next week, probably during department report out. So, you know, yeah, maybe we'll have a discussion about it. We'll talk a little bit about it. But the point is that before staff goes out, or concurrent to staff going out to talk to people, I'd like council to be aware of what they're seeing, so that if all of a sudden an image of the worst-case scenario of a big roundabout taking up multiple parcels appears in the monitor, that you all have at least seen it first and know that it's one of four things that have been conceptually designed. And I understand that we're supposed to build this within 10 years, otherwise we have to return the PSRC money. So that's just FYI. After the open house, it'll come back to you with more detail and a more detailed presentation from the consultant team. Any questions about that? Okay.
Well,
yes, Brad.
Part of the thing I forgot, speaking of open houses, there's also going to be a downtown project, Main Street Plaza project, open house on April 9th.
from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. And then let's go ahead and add into that one more thing. Right now I'm planning on visiting downtown businesses on April 11th, and we'll be sharing the open house brochure for the Gateway project. So I'll be going a little bit more on West Main than I did last time. And I think we're going to be sharing the status of the app.
Yes.
Right? And I feel like there was something else we were going to do too. But if any council members would like to join me, just let me know in advance. I need to make certain we don't have a quorum altogether. Otherwise, it requires a notice and that can get complicated with moving around downtown.
You can wear Kevlar.
But we can figure it out. Yeah, really. Somebody will wear earmuffs so you can't hear anything. Coming back to you, did I have something else? No. Okay, no, okay. I don't think I have anything else for myself. Let's go ahead and go to Gene.
All I have is the draft agenda.
Yep.
For April 7th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, the Snohomish County Fairgrounds Master Plan will be discussed and presented by Hal Gausman. The consent agenda under unfinished business. We have the discussion regarding water and sewer services outside city limits. We'll be discussing the non-represented employee policies and salaries. We'll be discussing sewer connection charges and water system capital improvement charges. It's the first reading. We'll be discussing the 2015 comprehensive plan update. Under final action, we'll be approving the Bear Mountain Estates preliminary plat. And under committee reports, we have the Finance Human Resources Committee that evening. We'll probably ask that the chair report out on that prior to unfinished business number two, because we'll be discussing that at that meeting. And I was hoping I could get confirmation that we'll have a quorum that night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have two council members gone, right, next week, and so we have... Yeah.
And then the draft agenda for April 14th, 2015.
Okay. Are there any comments on the April 7th draft agenda? Okay. And for the presentation for the Fairgrounds Master Plan, is council anticipated to... Will the committee have anything to report out, or...
Councilmember Rasmussen? We actually won't be meeting until the 14th. So for... my understanding is that the plan was to, as a council, to put together some questions or feedback for the fairgrounds and send to them in a letter. So
after the presentation?
After the presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to make certain that we're clear on that after the presentation so that they're aware. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. And extended agenda.
Additions or deletions?
Additions, deletions to the extended agenda. Okay. I don't see any. Do you have anything else for tonight?
No, thank you.
Okay. I have no other business for this evening. Council members? Would someone like to make a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
I have a first from Council Member Cutaback and a second from Council Member Wisette Davis to adjourn. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Boom. Boom.